Blog Talk Radio.
Host Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I want to thank our last week's guest for joining us, Michelle Norris with the General Question, Mikey D, one of the biggest pioneers, was in the building, letting us know what was going on with him and his journey through the music industry. Reuben Rice, one of the biggest producers from Baltimore, was also in the building last week. We also have coming back to return with us and doing his second interview, author K.L. Belvin, to talk about his novel that's sweeping in the nation, From Gigolo to Jesus. To hear that last weekend show, you can go to the archives at blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace, G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace, and check out those archives. This weekend, we have an amazing show for y'all. We have Vanessa Williams with the GQ General Question. Then we have, like I said, author K.L. Belvin back to finish the second part of his interview talking about his novel that's sweeping the nation, From Gigolo to Jesus. Then we have Sicko, The Main Thing. He's an author, director, and musician. And we will also be playing his hot single that's sweeping the music industry right now, Compensation. After Sicko, we have Big Ray from Ray Productions. He's also one of the biggest promoters in New York. We will be talking about him and finding out what's going on with him. Then we have Robert Ross, an entertainment lawyer and CEO of R&R Entertainment. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Vanessa Williams and her GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise.
Guns out aiming at me, but I become Neo when they aiming at me. May, me against them, me against enemies, me against friends. Somehow they both seem to become one. A sea full of sharks and they all smell blood. They start coming and I start rising. Must be surprising, I'm just amazing. I win, thrive, soar, higher, 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 more, fire.
Vanessa.
Hi, Rich.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. I can't complain. Weather changing, but, you know, I'm still making it through. I'm glad you took the time out to join us this evening. Would you care to tell our listeners a little something about yourself?
Well, I'm just a sub horse, and I'm a nurse, and I live in the Bronx.
Oh, All right. A nurse. Okay. Well, that's good. We might need some medical, you know, assistance one day. Okay, Vanessa, what's your topic for this evening?
Okay, my question is, being that we have a black president for 4 years, why do black men still use the excuse the white man is trying to tear me down?
Wow. Ooh, okay. And what made you choose that specific topic to discuss tonight?
Because a girlfriend of mine at my job, she was talking to us and she was telling us that, you know, her boyfriend had got laid off. And instead of him accepting the fact that whatever he had did to get himself laid off, he decides to, you know, to use that as an excuse. He was like, oh, it's a white man trying to tear me down.
All right, Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to Vanessa to talk about her topic for this evening, or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, me personally, that's just an excuse. Me personally, as being a black man, that's just an excuse saying for the white man to pull you down. You know, I feel like it's been said so for so long that they actually believe that. You know, for a black man to say, whether we have a black president or not, for a black man to simply say the white man is pulling me down, no, you can't say that. If you have a job to do, whether that man is white, Chinese, Indian, black, Korean, you still have a job you have to do. You understand? Hello, Vanessa?
I'm listening.
Oh, all right. So, I mean, you still have a job to do. So, me, that's just an excuse. And we actually have a caller on the line for you right now.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you're on line with, this is GQ Palace. You have Vanessa Williams on the line. Did you hear her topic for this evening?
I did. That's a very good topic. How you doing, Vanessa?
Okay.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, to answer that question, you know, basically, right, like, first, let me start at the end. When Obama came into office, in one of his many speeches, that, you know, he didn't create this mess. Walked right into it. So all he's trying to do is clean up what was left. You know what I mean? He came into a backyard. He's trying to clean it up. Now, like you said, Rich, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we can't keep blaming ourselves. If this is another white president, our people will still the same thing. The white man is bringing us down, which is not true.
Exactly.
Now, to get more specific, I would say, some of us black people saying this, because not all of us, is because of lack of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
Some of us are stuck in that slave mentality. You know what I'm saying? Because I say, you know, our generation has been destroyed, because back in the days during slavery, it was like our slaves, no matter what, we were willing to fight for our rights. And this is why we are where we are today, because of people like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. You know, they set rules and they fought for it. They died for it. So now we're still saying the white man is bringing us down. We can no longer say there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that, because back from then until now, it's easy to make money in America. I mean, for example, like when I was unemployed, I could go downtown Manhattan, 28th Street, the wholesale retail place, and buy a whole bunch of socks and you know shirts. And make money, get compensated for that. Because there's many ways of making money. Those who say the black man is holding us down, it's just the white man is holding us down, it's just an excuse because they're just lazy. Just lazy.
Exactly. And who are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Joseph.
Joseph, what's going on, man?
What's going on, bro? How you going? How you
I'm
doing?
All right. That's a real good point you make there. We actually have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You heard Vanessa's topic?
Sure did.
Okay.
Bottom
what's
line,
your point of view on it?
Bottom line, there is no excuse. Don't blame it on the white man. Don't blame it on the black man. Blame it on yourself.
Exactly.
You know, there's nobody holding a gun to your head saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's too much out here to offer education, jobs, or anything else. If it's nothing but flipping hamburgers. So don't blame it on the white man. Don't blame it on Obama. Blame it on your lazy on ass, bottom line.
Hello.
That's my point. I'm sticking to it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I definitely agree with that. All right, we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you heard Vanessa Williams' topic?
Yes, I did.
What's your point of view on it?
Well, I don't, okay, I agree when you say don't blame it on the white man, but I'm just going to say a lot of the jobs out there are white-owned and operated, you know, and me, myself, I can say I was a statistic where I said the white woman was pulling me down, and that was only because I worked at a company for 12 years. I came in the only black person in the whole company. It was a family-owned and operated company, only black person in there. And I was the second female, but, of course, my boss and his sister were both white. Now, they brought somebody else in, a white lady, who was upset that I was 24 at the time. They brought her in making the same amount of money they was paying me, but she had more schooling than I did in everything. This lady did everything in her power to give me a hard time. And what ended up happening is, use my language, the white people stuck together, and I did my job, starting as the receptionist to the assistant project manager to doing all the contracts, to doing all the sales. You name it, I did it. And I was the only one doing it for 10 years before she came. I lost my job. I lost my job, and it wasn't because I wasn't doing my job. It was because this white lady came in who had, she was 20 years older than me, and she felt that they shouldn't have been paying me what they were paying me because I was so young. So I can say I was part of the statistics that say the white man was pulling me down because I felt like this white lady came in, and she came in and got into cahoots with the other white people of the company, and I ended up losing my job.
Okay, let me ask you. Okay, you said you was doing all this, but what was she doing? Was she doing more than what you was doing? Did you feel like...
Her job was payroll. She did the payroll. What I did was I did contracts for all the up-and-coming businesses that they had, the contracts that was coming. I typed the contracts. I did all the conferencing for everybody. I was the secretary for the vice president and the president of the company. I did the assistant payroll with another person that was doing payroll. I did all of that. And then when she came in and she took the payroll part that I was doing and the payroll part that the other person was doing, and that let her know who was making what salary. And she felt that I should not have been making the amount of money that I was making. At 24 years old, making $68,000, and here she is coming into the company almost 50, and here she is making $70,000 a year. So she felt that, you know what, I have more schooling, and what she did, she had me 1 year college, she had me to the max with college education and everything. She did. She was qualified for the position, but as soon as she saw how much money I was making, then she had a problem with it. So I don't know if I would say the white man is pulling me down, but I would just say that was a damn good job, making damn good money, and I put in 12 years at the job, and for this white lady to come in there talking about you making too much money, I had a problem with that, and I got laid off.
Oh, boy, she shut up.
But you could also say that was also dealing with jealousy. You understand?
Right.
Maybe that person was just racist at that time, but that's dealing with jealousy. It ain't dealing with the fact of the white man pulling you down. But just like you got that job when you got fired, you could have went and got another one, making the same thing, probably even more.
You know what else? All the time nowadays, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
That's also true.
Right, I mean, think about it.
You can have a bachelor's degree. You can have the highest degree in the world. But if you don't really know that person, my brother was a prime suspect of that basic thing. If you don't know that person, you can forget it. I don't have to know nothing and can go and know that this is my best friend's man, husband, wife, or whatever. If they feel like they want to give me that job, they're going to give it to me. Forget what the other person knows.
Right, but see, what you have to understand, too, is neither one of us knew the owner of the company or his sister because it was family-owned and operated. Now, I was the faithful and loyal one that put in 10 years with the company. So you could say, okay, it depends on who you know, but neither one of us knew the person.
Right.
Neither one of us knew the person, but I vested my 12 years into the company, and I got laid off at the
after
end of the day.
12 years.
12 years,
that's
I got
thing.
Laid
it's
off.
It's racism.
So
okay. You know, because
I wouldn't say it was who you know. I would just say,
well,
you know what?
You
no,
know,
I
was
said
just
came
using
into
that. But, yeah,
you know,
that was, I would feel like that's racism right there.
So, to
you
me,
know,
I that's
you being the black young woman, you was a threat to them.
Exactly.
The other woman
so
that they hired.
So that's why I said I felt like I was part of the statistics that said, you know what, I didn't say the black man, it's the black woman, that's the white woman is pulling me down because she was hating completely, but at the end of the day, her hating caused me to lose my job. And guess
true.
I left that job and got another job, but I'm not making no $7,000 a year.
Wow.
Because you know what, you have to put more years in before you can make that type
that.
Of money at a company
exactly.
like that. You know?
Exactly.
So to
exactly.
get back up to where I felt, you know, I was, you have to put in years. You have to be vested. So that's what
yeah,
I mean when I say
so
I was
it was like
statistics.
you went down. Now you got to come back up to get where you were.
Exactly.
Okay, that's understandable.
So
but, you
I,
know,
that's
on,
why I
on,
say
on that part, yeah, it probably was a racist jealousy thing.
Yeah.
But as far as you know, stating that you know, black men using the white man pulling them down, it's nowadays it's not even like that because you gotta realize a lot of black men have their own businesses also right now. It ain't like it was back then. You know, so for them to sit there and say, well, the white man is pulling me down, no, that's impossible because I work with nothing. All my bosses is white men, and they can do whatever they want, but regardless of the fact, I'm going to still get up, go to work, and do what I got to do. As
there
long as
go.
I'm doing what I got to do, they can't tell me nothing. It's the law now. You can't get fired for doing nonsense.
That's right. That's
I mean, doing what you got to do. You can't get fired for doing what you got to do. Excuse me. If you're doing nonsense, that's the reason for you getting fired. You know,
true.
It's actually something that you have to be doing for you to really get fired now.
But not all the time.
And a lot
not
of jobs is
because,
not going to want to pay you unemployment.
But not all the times. What they use now is the excuse of not for nothing, with me being in the working, you know, field for many, many years. You know, I say you can do your job. Honestly, you can do your job. You can come to work, perform to your best of your ability, give 110%. But you know what? When somebody feels at that company who has more power than you do, that your time is up, your time is up. I think that it's a poor excuse. Even when I used it, I thought it was a poor excuse that the white man is pulling me down. But when you deal with so many different companies and you deal with different people, most people, when you get on somebody's bad side, whether your attitudes just don't click or whatever the case may be, you're going to be in trouble at the end of the day. And they don't have to fire you, but they can lay you off. And they can lay you off for the little reasons. And then, yes, you will receive unemployment. But at the end of the day, your unemployment is nowhere near what your salary is.
No.
Okay, but just like they say, the white man appreciates certain things like that. You think
No, is what I learned is that I was missing my understanding. Knowledge, we both know knowledge is the foundation of all things existence, right? Wisdom is, you know, is
exactly.
the wise word, right? And to understand, you know, and basically knowledge it also means education. Now, when I say that, what I mean is that what a lot of people don't know, if you have the knowledge and the understanding, if you come up with an idea and say, listen, I want to open up that drug program, it's a big business, right? Now, you do your research. As you do your but you know, you do everything you're supposed to do. You present that as kind of like a resume, and you go to the government and say, listen, I have an idea. I need a loan. This is what I want to do. And you can go to these big corporations, and if they feel like they can get pops out of that, they will give you a loan. As long as you have an idea,
exactly.
From that, they will give it to you. I mean, just anybody. You just all you have to do is have the knowledge and understanding for this, and you can do it. Look at Jay-Z, E.D.,
perfect example.
He wasn't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They were people from Red Hook, Brooklyn, or from Harlem, you know, living the projects, you know, rat and roaches, sorry to say that, but, you know, these are people who had the knowledge and determination. I'm talking about years back when unemployment was low for the African-American people. But now we have technology. We have computers. I mean, these kids have everything we need. 17 years old. but we're not using it. So, again, lastly, it's just laziness. We, some of us just don't want it. We just don't want it. We want things to come to us. It doesn't
all
work
right.
Like.
Okay, we actually have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello, how you doing? This is KL Belvin.
Hey, KL. All right, hey. We have KL Belvin on the line. He's actually coming on next. Kelvin, did you hear the topic for this evening?
Yeah, I heard the question with brothers blaming our other folks of color, non-color.
What's your point of view on that?
I'm going to try to get away from the white man, black man thing because we're talking about pigmentation. So I think cats, you know, use that a little too much because we got as many brothers holding brothers down as we got Caucasians. But
there you go.
I think the excuse that a lot of brothers use and the reason why they use it is I think I just heard the brothers say it briefly before I came on is laziness because, as I said to you, Brother Rich, we was talking once, a Caucasian man once said to me, how can you N-words complain? And we was about to rough them off. He said, libraries have been free for God knows how long. My people kept you out of college. There was no excuse to not go into the library and read on your own. And as he went into a lot of different things, I've held on to that for years. And I was in my 20s when he said that. I'm 44 at the moment. Is that no one keeps you from information but yourself. It is when someone tries to prevent you from learning that you really have a concern and a worry because now they're keeping you from being able to feed yourself. And as an educator and as an entrepreneur, no one kept me from knowledge. So I have no excuse for not being able to do something in this world towards taking care of myself. Now, am I where I'd like to be? Am I rich? I'm rich in stature. I'm rich in spirit. But I haven't been able to crack that ceiling of being what other people would say financially rich, but I'm comfortable. I have 3 degrees, and I was born in the projects. I'm happily married. I have my own business as well as I've been teaching 15 years. Some people call me incredibly successful, but I still drive to be better simply because I know there's more out there for me. So when brothers don't have and they want to blame anything, it's basically based on ignorance and laziness because if no one's physically keeping you from it, then there's no excuse. There was a time when we were physically kept from the thing that would have made us better. We can argue that. We can say, well, that hurt us. But once they freed us, the thing that we've never freed ourselves from is the ignorance, and that's the true slavery, and that's what
exactly.
You can't blame Caucasians for simply because there are many brothers repeating the same ignorant things that they've gotten from brothers before them and been told that is ignorant and still don't listen. You can't put that on anybody else but self. And actually what kills me is that one of the first things that you're taught in, well, being a Muslim, being a Christian, or any one of the religious faiths, is that you have to first seek personal growth. Well, when you seek personal growth, well, then that's going to be a journey on knowledge. Once you gain that knowledge of anything, you're going to grow as an individual. So how could you not want more? So when a cat is staying in one place and saying the same thing, well, that's his closed mindedness. That's on him. You can't put that on no one else.
You can't.
Exactly. Right, well, that right there, because, you know, we got a couple of guests coming on. That means that we got to end our GQ general question for this evening. So, right. Vanessa, I want you to give your final thought on the topic.
Okay. My final thought is our generation of men have to start teaching the new generation of black men to not use that as an excuse no more. There's a lot of things out there that they can learn and get knowledge from. So please teach our young black men that's growing up that that's not an excuse anymore.
All right. Vanessa, I really want to thank you for joining us again tonight. Now, coming up next, Dons and Divas, author K.L. Belvin, who was just gave that, I'm going to say presentation, because if y'all is listening, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's coming back, and he's up next to finish the second part of his interview from last week to talk about his novel that's sweeping the nation from Gigolo to Jesus. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back after this. This is GQ Palace. Love and entertainment. It's
love and entertainment.
To all my people in the struggle, You think God's forgotten about you? Here's some pain medicine. Let's go! You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on! A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Let's start it off again. Okay. I said it for the people that didn't hear last week, from Gigolo to Jesus.
Oh, man. Gigolo to Jesus is a memoir of a ex-whore, misogynistic whore. And for those that don't know what misogyny is, it's a man that hates women. And you can't be out whoring if you say that you love women, because you can't treat women negative like that and try to hide it behind love. So I was as bad as a lot of dudes out here. And my wife and I decided, with once changing my life around, we need to put that out there. So I put all the dirt out there that I was as a man, hoping that as brothers read it, maybe they can take my transition and find their way home by using my life as a roadmap. And also, it's written for women to be able to look at and see what role they play in what some of these men are out here doing. Because you're not, I wasn't doing it alone. So it wasn't like I was out stealing and it's something that you can say was just connected directly to me. Me lying to women, or me being involved with women the way that I was, there were some willing accomplices too. But I don't place any of the blame on the women. I take the blame myself. But it's a way for women to take a look at themselves and say, was I one of these enablers? Was I one of these women that helped what was going on? Or was I a victim of someone like KL? So now maybe I can learn from it and not be in that position. And then, of course, it takes you through to the transformation part, which now shows you the happily married man, the man that loves God, the man that loves his wife, and how that whole process came about. And I really wanted to make sure folks was able to get that and feel that.
Now, so that was the main reason for you writing Gigolo to Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it actually take you to write?
You know, and we talked about it. It's funny because it took a couple years. It took a couple years in terms of I had it in my head, and I tinkered with it, and I did a little bit here, did a little bit there. But again, and I give all credit to my wife, and I know if anybody knows me or if they're getting to know me, trust, I speak about my wife often because she is the center of my life next to God. God first, then my wife, of course, is that she said, stop everything that you're doing and get this done. Because I had my hands in so many things that was leading me away from the book that my wife actually had to say, you need to stop and get this done. Don't work on anything else. Don't write anything else. Get this done because you really need to get this out because it's needed. And so when I did that, it took me a couple of months, if anything, to get finished because I record everything that I do, because having ADD, it makes it very difficult for me to really sit down and focus at a computer, typewriter, anything. So what I do is I put my headphones on, I write an outline, and I think about the subject, put my headphones on, mm-hmm. I just go ahead and record it. And then I have someone who then takes the recording, types it all up for me, and then I'm able to go over that along with my wife, and we can break it down and then put it together. So to answer your question, it really was a couple of years, but when I sat down and really put my focus to it, took me a couple of months.
Okay. Now, you have your own publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with publishing, you got to go with the pictures, you got to go with the hard copy, the soft copy. You know, it's a lot of things you have to go to when publishing. Now,
mm-hmm.
of course, you publish your own book, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay,
definitely.
Now how long did that take?
Well, the publishing process, it could take anywhere from 2 months, 3 months. It could take a couple of months depending on the designs and the editing and everything like that. What we do, and let me just get this clear for anybody listening, we're the service provider, meaning that we help authors to invest in themselves. We take your work from your computer to book form, a professional book form, so we take care of all the service aspect. We're not the traditional publisher where we go out and give deals to different authors. We actually take care of the services that authors need. So one of the things that I wanted to do in self-publishing my work is I wanted complete control of my work. And so that process goes to giving an idea to the graphic designer. The graphic designer, who's a very talented brother out of Denver called Go Boy, he actually sits down, takes my thoughts, and then comes up with the covers. We go through maybe one or two different ideas, and then the one that I agree with, he goes with. And then the editing and the typesetting, that could range because it took a little while with the typesetting because it was a matter of, because you have to make sure that the editing is done correctly. And actually, I went to a third edit after we did the first two because I didn't like the way that came out, just to make sure we touched up on some things or errors that we might have found. The typesetting doesn't take an extremely long period of time. So the whole process could range between couple of months to maybe a little over three, depending. When we're working with an author, a lot of it has to do with how quickly the author returns information to us, when we need it, how clear we are on our understanding of things, and we have that open line of communication. So there's no set time, but I would basically mm-hmm. range between 2 to 3, 3.5, depending. Really not even that long if we can really have that flow of communication.
Oh, okay. Now, how did you go about starting your own publish company? Because that sounds like it's just a lot of work, if you don't mind answering that question. How did you actually go about starting a publishing company?
Well, you know, it's a great question. What I did was when I refound my faith, and I was an erotic writer, I was an erotic storyteller and an erotic poet. When I decided to change my life and reclaim my faith and fix things at home, I had already thought about putting out an erotic book. So when I made the transition and said, you know, I still want to put out a book, I'm not exactly sure of what, I just decided I'm going to sit down and do the research. I'm going to sit down and see if self-publishing is an option to me, because I just didn't want to have someone say, well, I don't like the way you write, or I want to change the way you write, or this is the way we do it, this is the way my company is. And I wasn't going to go that route of begging somebody to take my words on. Not that it's a bad way. For some people, it works for them. So I figured I'm an educator. I should. Mm-hmm. I teach kids and I teach young adults. I should be able to teach myself something. So I went out and I started to do the research. I went to the library. I got on the internet. I bought books and I started to study. And then what I started doing was Blog Talk Radio. And I'm a big fan of Blog Talk Radio because it's a way to listen to professionals without having to pay for it. And I started finding shows that were dedicated to authors, dedicated to the subject of literacy. And I started to listen, and I started listening to the mistakes that they made. I started listening to the successes that they had. And then I went out and said, okay, let me test the waters. I have all these poems. I'm going to put out a poetry book. Now, of course, all the publishing books and all the publishing information out there says poetry doesn't sell because there's no balance and it can be anything and there's no real way to make money of it. I said, well, you know what? Fine. I'm going to go that route because mm-hmm. I believe God had touched me to put it out there. I'm going to sell poetry, but I'm not going to sell my poetry books to people. I'm going to sell who I am and who the person is behind the poetry. And so I said, you know what? That's how we're going to do it. And once we came up with the concept and we created the first book, and I went out there and I put the effort in. It's not as difficult as people think, but you do have to have a working understanding of what it is that you're trying to accomplish when putting anything together. And with books, it's no different than whether I wanted to become a mechanic. You still have to sit down and make sure you understand what skills are needed to do what it is that you want to do. Now, owning a business, that was a big choice. That came later on, but being the author first, you really are self-published, or you are a publisher on a much smaller level. And over the 2 years that I was out there hustling and doing the poems in different places, doing different shows, doing different events, the things I heard from authors in terms of, wow, KL, you did it yourself, I wish I had somebody like that working for me, that's what prompted me to go, well, maybe I can create a business that can do that. In 2010, actually February, so this February makes 2 years, we actually put the business in play, made it legitimate, went and got all the paperwork with the state of New York, and we had an official LLC, and we were, you know, from there. And the 2 years has been a tremendous learning experience in terms of being an entrepreneur, because I know so much more now than I did 2 years ago, and I'm going to continue to learn. And that's one of the benefits, too, is that you have to be open to learning about your craft. You have to be learning, constantly learning about being a writer, being a businessman, how to balance the two, how to balance at home, mm-hmm. making sure your resources and your support system is in place. And that's also a resource. Who are going to be the people that's going to help you? Do you have money to pay them, or are they going to, you know, dedicate time for free? So all of that played into it, and, you know, so far the Lord has been blessing us, and I can't complain.
Okay. Now, Gigolo to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that's your second novel.
Yes.
Okay, because I have something that I want to play and reference, if it's all right with you, to the
yes.
first novel.
Yeah, Man in Transition.
Okay, Man in Transition, all right, because you have something that you have wrote in reference called The Goddess.
Yes, that is
okay.
That was a dedication to basically man to women, from men to women, but really from a man to a woman, is that too often we don't look at our women the way that we should. And I felt that, you know, our women are our goddesses. And if we allow them if they allow us to be the man that we're supposed to be and let the women be the goddesses that they're supposed to be, it'll even out in the end.
Okay. See, I want to play that. But first I want to ask you, Did it take you the same length of time to complete your first novel as it did your second?
Actually, the second one took longer than the first one because I had many of the poems I had already written, and it wasn't a matter of saying, well, I'm going to write these poems for the book. It was, how do I arrange these poems into book form, which will make sense to folks? And one of the things that I did was I said, well, you know, I want to make poetry easier to read because I know I didn't like poetry when I was in high school, or maybe, you know, Langston Hughes and Maya Angelou and a couple others that we tend to get pushed on, who I love all of those, by the way. Langston Hughes is one of my favorite. But I said I wanted to create something that gives people an idea to want to read it. So what I did was I wrote my poetry book in chapters, like a regular chapter book, but each chapter being a theme and then fitting my poems into each theme. And then another thing behind it was I took you from the spiritual man that I currently was to the nasty negative dude that I had transformed from. Because I said if anybody's going to transition, they have to transition from something to something. So my book is actually, the first one is a reverse. The first chapter is a spiritual chapter, which leads you back to chapter 6, which is a glimpse of some of the sexual poems that I used to write and where my head was, because I wanted people to see the difference between that spiritual man and that fleshly sexual man.
Oh, okay. So what I want to do right now, I want to play that poem that you got, The Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to finish as soon as we come back. I do have callers on the line for you.
Got
all right?
Sure.
Okay, Dons and Divas, this is K.L. Belvin, The Goddess, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
This is a piece from my book, A Man in Transition, and it's called My Goddess. How do you calm a raging fire? You find a way to douse the flames from all angles. The pains I have seem to become calm when you talk to me, my goddess. How do you help a person with a deathly fear? You slowly show them there is nothing to fear by placing yourself in its path and acting like a bridge for the person to walk across. The fears I have, my goddess, you have reached out and extended yourself as a buffer from the pain I hold. How do you teach someone to trust again? You show them there is nothing hidden when talking to them. My issues with trust, my goddess, you ask me to let go so that you can hold and heal my tattered heart. How do you find the Lord when you have wandered around blindly? You drop to your knees and ask the Lord to show you the way home again and let him plant the pathway in your heart and mind. My goddess, you have crossed my path, and now you walk alongside of me, at the same time asking to help me with directions to things since lost. How do you recover from a mistake of epic proportions? You lift yourself up and fight to get back into the game as if there's no tomorrow, and remain focused on what will be and not the what has been. The errors I have made and the pain they caused, my goddess, you ask to step in and fight the fight alongside of me, and when need be, in front of me. My goddess, your light reignites my own. How do you know whom to choose when faced with many who want you? You close your eyes and let your heart guide your actions. As I live this life, I am told what could be done to me and for me by so many. But you, my goddess, say, I am what you need me to be. So, my goddess, I offer this. Allow me to move as the mortal man I am. Learn as the mortal man I am. Enjoy the gifts as the mortal man I am. This will allow me to grow, to become the god that is needed by you, my goddess. And that was My Goddess by K.L. Belvin from A Man in Transition. Take care and God bless.
Okay. I'm still going to let the music rock because
Can't go wrong with Mike.
You are definitely you deep with it. You are really, really deep with it. I'm not even going to lie to you. And you know what? I just want to jump right into something, because I do want to get that other poem going also. You know, your wife, she wrote an article in Ebony Magazine based on your relationship.
Yes.
Which also speaks about your book, Gigolo to Jesus.
Yes, the book is the story behind the article, actually, yeah.
Okay. Now, that particular, how can I say it? The part that she wrote about, did you feel like, you know, it was something that was, like, based on your life where she's like, all right, this is something that you wanted her to do, or she just, like, decided to, like, you know, come across and be like, this is something that I want to do for your book. Like, when you do it, do you involve her in everything that you do when it comes to writing the novels?
Yeah, well, actually, that's what I was going to get to. We did it together. We don't do anything apart when it comes to our work because we want folks to know marriage is cool, man. We having fun being married. And so when the opportunity to write, we didn't originally know it was going to be in Ebony. We just got an email from a friend that said they're looking for articles from married couples who have some type of advice to give. And that's what we do. We're in the process of creating seminars for making marriage cool. So when my wife did the original piece, she sent it to me and said, you know, what do you think? And I looked at it, I said, it's great. So she sent it. And then the woman that got it said, well, I want to get your husband's point of view on some of these points, because what they do is they just want to make sure that you're a couple that's together, that it's not just a woman that's writing about the relationship she wants to be in. So when they sent it back to me and just said, well, here's a couple of things we want you just to extend, I said, okay, cool. So it was only about four or five of the points, and I just offered my little bits and pieces, and then they fused it all together to create the article. So for me, I was so happy that the article had her name as the writer, because this is the blessing to me as I see it. My wife wrote the article about how I overcame the situations that I was dealing with as a man. It then mentions the book that we created together, which is the overall story of how that happened. And then it mentions the publishing company, which we created because of everything that went on. And then here it is in a national magazine for everyone to see the two of us with our picture there. So everything about that article embodies everything that we are. When you can't separate the two of us in the article, because starting from the picture, it's the two of us. What she's writing about is me. The book talks about how I got to where I was because of her, and the publishing company is connected to two of us, which our two last names is what makes up the name of the company. Braven Publishing is half of her last name, half of my last name put together. So it embodies everything that we are as a couple, which is togetherness. And we were so happy to see it because now the nation gets to see it. The world gets to see it, which is what we've been trying to get folks to pay attention to since we started this.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, what I want to do, I want to play that poem that you got to give to your wife, because we have some callers on the line for you, and I want to get to those callers. All right?
Gotcha.
All right, Dons and Divas, this is another poem from K.L. Belvin dedicated to his wife, The Perfect Woman.
Hey, how you doing? This is K.L. Belvin, and I want to read a piece that I dedicated to my wife, Tiffany. It's one of my favorites. It's in my book, A Man in Transition, and I just wanted to show the world what my wife means to me. It's called Perfect Woman, If Only in My Mind. I ask myself, why am I so lucky? Is there a reason I'm so blessed? But you're never supposed to question God's work. I say God, because how do you explain her patience with me? There is something about the way she understands my needs. Are there other women who would love another's children like her own? Would another woman be strong enough to trust God and take you back when you have tasted someone else's fruits? Her soul is pure enough to douse the evil that once filled my own. My vanity, pride, and smugness have been replaced with concerns, endearment, and gratefulness. I now focus on more than just my own needs. Her smile fills my heart with joy. Her tears burn in my soul and demand my immediate attention or screams for forgiveness. I am blessed with an equal. So again I ask, why am I so lucky? Does God see something in me I don't see? He must. She is sexy beyond belief, even when she sleeps. Can that comfortable look come from what I have brought to her life? The world is funny.
One minute you're all alone, next thing all your dreams are being answered. Thank you, God. Well, the only course of action is to leave all my worries, fears, and concerns at the Lord's feet. Something about having the right woman makes each day, night, and morning special. I really do have the perfect woman, if only in my mind, by KL.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are real deep with it. You are real deep with it.
And most men are, brother. Most men are. And that's my whole point of how my existence is to put out there that most brothers have that in them. It's just being comfortable enough to let it out, because a lot of times we only let it out when we're in pain, or, you know, we can let it out towards the sexual, or we can let it out towards whatever. But most men that care about their women feel that way. They just don't want to feel all mushy in front of other brothers, which is what we actually need, because our young brothers don't see that. So all they really think is the aggression and the roughness and whatever. But, you know, ask them about their moms and see if you don't see that same thing. You know, ask them about their boys and see if they don't see the same thing. We just have to reconnect that to their significant other or their girl, or how they love, period. And you'll start to see brothers react that way. That's what I'm trying to do.
All right. We have a caller on the line for you. Caller, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
All right. You have K.L. Belvin on the line, author for Gigolo and Jesus. You have a question you want to ask him?
Yeah, I have many questions, man. First, I want to say, brother, thank you very much, man, because, like, it was a song that Lauryn Hill sung. You know, you spoke, y'all. The word that you spoke, man, was basically, that's my life. You know what I mean? And I want to say thank you very much.
Welcome.
And this one thing that you said that stuck to me the most, how do you teach someone to trust again? You know, my personal experience was that, you know, I lived a terrible life of crime and things like that. And one day I decided, you know, I just wanted to change. I just had enough. You know, I'm getting older. I have kids. I have grandkids. You know, and I didn't trust anybody around me. You know, so, but for some reason, you know, something just struck me. Something just stuck out and said, you know what, you have to do this. You have to give yourself a chance. So my question here was, what was it during your life before you made that transition to be the person that you are now, which you probably always was, like rediscovered yourself? What was the thought of something that you seen that woke you up to say, you know what, this is my calling, this is what I want to be, this is what I have to do, where you are right now?
Great question, bro. You know what it is that I heard God's voice, and explain to you real quickly, is that I was in a motel some 200-something miles away from my girlfriend, now wife, and waiting on a young lady that I had got caught cheating with before, and waiting on her to show up. And when she called me and said her stomach was bothering her and she needed a couple of minutes, I was like, well, hurry up. You know, I'm down here from New York. I was in South Jersey. And she didn't show up. So about an hour later, she called. She said, I don't know what's wrong with my stomach, but, yo, I'm not ready to make it. So I was pissed. I'm like, I done drove all the way down here to see you, got the condoms on the nightstand. I'm ready to get into a little something. And you're going to hold me up like this? I done spent money on this room. And in my anger, you know, I was sitting there, and I'm tight, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, and the teleministry happened to be on TV. Now, first of all, I don't know too many players who's about to get into a little something that's watching teleministry, so I don't even know how it got on the TV or whatever. So I'm sitting there, and the next 2 hours in my anger, I'm listening to these televangelists speaking, but all four spoke to a different aspect of my life that wasn't where I wanted. And so at that point, I always knew of God. I always was a spiritual person. I think most people have some type of spirituality to them. It's just I didn't conform to any type of religious belief. And as you say, I would have said I was a Baptist just because that's what my family said I was. But it was in my unhappiness and my anger that I was like, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it that you want? Because as a spoiled kid, and that's what most players are, they're spoiled. Because they want so much, but really what they're doing is trying to deflect away from what's really missing with inside themselves. And I had the Jeep, I had the master's degree, I had the teaching career, I had the beautiful woman at home because my wife is a model. So I had all the things that a lot of people would sign on for right now. So what is it that made me unhappy? Was because I wasn't doing what God built me for. And a lot of things that's missing in a lot of brothers and sisters' lives is that you're not doing what you were created to do. You're doing what you believe you want to do or what you need to do. But you're not realizing that if it's still not what you were designed to do, that's that void. That's that emptiness. So mine had created and took form of a form of addiction. I was going to do everything I could sexually because that's what I felt fed me. Well, actually, it kept deflecting away from me dealing with me. And so I got on my knees at that point in tears and was like, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it that you want? Because obviously what I'm doing is not working. And I allowed my own unhappiness to allow me to hear God's voice. I got up off the floor, wiped my eyes, and I said, well, what do I do now that I believe I heard the Lord's voice? I called my grandmother. And this is very important for the spiritual folks listening, is that when people say a lot around you, we can tone it out. But my grandmother never stopped reminding me that I was built for something greater than I had been at the time. So when I called her and I was like, yo, grandma, listen, I think I heard the Lord's voice. What do I do? She said, well, do whatever he told you to do. And she hung up the phone. I was like, wow, that's some hard love right there. But then I called a partner of mine who had never let me forget that he was a Christian, that he had been a drug addict, that he was out here doing it day by day. And when I called him, I said, so what do I do now, brother? If I want to change this, how do I change it? And having a brother who had been through something, being there to explain to me that now I needed to make certain changes, that I needed to do something. I'm sorry, get down, dog. My dog is having a ball. I'm on the phone. I'm sorry about that. And so having a brother that explained that to me allowed me to have a direction and have focus. And that's another reason why I share my experiences the way I did in my book, why I do the interviews, why I talk to folks, is because in allowing our own dirt to be sifted through, people find themselves. And then they feel more comfortable sharing with somebody who's been through it than someone saying, well, change, 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 but they don't have any idea what someone's facing internally. So that's what it was for me, brother.
So when you said, how do you teach someone to trust again by showing them that there's nothing to hide? I guess that point, when you say showing them there's nothing to hide, by letting them know, listen, I was there too. I did what you were doing right now, and just telling them your personal story, letting them know where you've been at. You know, just getting really real personal. Listen, I've done drugs too. Whatever situation they was in,
I did that, brother. And I don't mean to cut you off. Here's what that really means. When you've hurt somebody, whether you've done drugs and damaged the relationship with somebody, the only way you can get them to trust you again, in my case, it was getting caught cheating. So that was part of why I wrote that, because it was, again, everything is connected to where my wife and I are now. My wife caught me cheating 3 times when we were dating, but we've been wonderful since being married, is that the only way you can get someone to refine trust in you is your actions have to speak long before your words, because every cat that got caught cheating says, I'm sorry. Every man that gets caught doing something negative initially goes, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, because that's your first reaction, is to tell that lie.
Yes,
the only
right.
way you can regain or help someone regain trust in you is that you have to go and become it and live it to such a degree that the person's own eyes say to them, I know your heart is scared. I know your mind is saying don't trust him, but you have not seen anything from him since that time he said he was sorry. Now, that helps build it back up. And then what's going to happen is you have to wait until the first negative situation happens and you got to hold that rock on what you say you are to help get them over that hurdle to trust you completely. Because during the great times, anybody can trust anybody. There's nothing at loss. There's nothing at risk. It's when things are starting to go sideways that you're holding on, a time that you would normally run out and get high, a time that you would normally run out to the next chick's house. You're there. You see her through it. Or if it's a young lady, see him through it. Then they start to be able to rebuild. And it takes years. There's nothing easy about this. But it takes time, whether it's a drug addict, whether it's a sex addict, whether it's a gamble hall, whatever it is. It takes time and your positive actions to reinforce what you want someone to feel about you.
Access speaks louder than words.
Okay. Well, Joseph, I have another call I want to get through real fast because we're running out of time, and I want Kelvin to do KL to give his information. So I want to take this other caller real fast, and then Mr. Belvin, I want you to just tell him all your information, everything.
Gotcha.
Because we also have another artist coming up, and I want to get to him. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, KL Belvin, the author on the line. Do you have a question for him?
He's phenomenal. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
The perfect woman. I'm going to have to use that on my woman to see what I can handle tonight.
Well, bro, I hope you're doing it in a positive way.
I'm going to, most definitely, man. It's my love, my life. but I got to do what I got
to
do.
Oh, okay. Well, since the love of your life, I give you permission to use it. But I don't want you trying to get past somebody's defenses.
But, man, upstairs, you're deep. Your words are deep, and I got to do what I got to do. But I'm going to for forgiveness tonight.
Oh, wow. See,
I
can't co-sign that. Well, if you use it because y'all going to get closer together, please, just don't do it for one night, brother. I can't co-sign
it
for one night. But if y'all gonna, just going to help make things better,
lifetime.
No problem.
I want it for a lifetime, man.
Hey, there you go. See, I can co-sign to that. If it's a lifetime,
yeah.
I can co-sign.
Yeah, not just for one night. I need it for a lifetime.
Not a problem. Not a problem. It's going to help light that candle tonight. Go ahead.
You and your wife keep going. And, you know, I'm about to light me some candles.
Well, listen, while using the poem, make sure you keep listening. So when I put out where to get the book, you get the book. That way you can sit
most
down
definitely.
With it, get both books, and y'all
most
can share
definitely.
Them together.
That's a given.
There you go.
Keep it up, man.
Thank you, brother. Enjoy yourself tonight, man.
I wish I could take some more callers right now, but I have another artist going on. I want you to give the information, everything, how they can get the books, what sites you on, all the information.
Got you. All right. Of course, my name is K.L. Belvin. Our website, our publishing website is www.bravin, that's B-R-A-V-I-N, publishing.com. You can get all our books from there. My other website is www.klthewriter.com. You can stop by there. We're on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, KL Belvin on Facebook. We also have Braven Publishing is our website on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, KL Belvin, also Braven Books on Twitter. And just Google KL Belvin. There's a ton of information out there, videos on YouTube. It's KL the Writer. You can look at some of the videos that I've put out. And definitely support what we do. I'm an entrepreneur, so everything that we take in allows us to continue to do the things. If you like the poems, all that was created by me using the music and everything like that, I do it myself. So every time someone purchases something from us, it allows me to continue what I do as an entrepreneur. And I'm also a mentor to young men. And so the more that I can raise, the more money that I can raise, it allows me to create things where I don't have to beg other people to help me when I'm trying to help young men and women, because I'm also an educator and mentor here in New York City. So I ask for help in any form possible that allows me to do that.
All right. We're definitely going to be there to support you on that.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Always. Well, my wife is listening. She's right here somewhere. Shout out to my wife, and also shout out to everyone who took the time out to spend this half an hour with you, Rich. And I want to give y'all a shout out too. You have a very professional done show, and I really enjoy my time here. And is there anything that I can do going forward? Because I know we're going to network more. So definitely shout out to GQ Palace and anybody listening. Understand this. I want to shout out anyone who's out here trying to make it happen as an entrepreneur, trying to do for themselves. It's not easy. Stay faithful, stay prayed up. The Lord is going to see you through it. But we need brothers and sisters to support the other brothers and sisters who took that opportunity or chance to go out here and do for themselves. Let's get behind our own and let's start to have the things that we keep saying that we want, but it's out there. We just got to look for those people and do something about it. And shout out to my little man, Phil. Unfortunately, he's going to spend some time upstate. They called me to the police department last night, but then the cops wouldn't let me talk to him because they said turns out he had a warrant and I couldn't see him, so they're going to send him upstate. Mm. But he was one of my mentors that if a principal hadn't canceled a program, I might have been able to prevent that young man from going to jail. So I feel like I lost one last night. So shout out to him, and I'm hoping that he'll find himself before he comes back home, and I'll be here when he gets here.
All right. Well, Kay, I want to thank you. Like I said, we're definitely going to be doing that networking. We're definitely going to keep in touch.
Definitely.
And, you know, you're welcome back to GQ Palace anytime.
Oh, definitely.
Anytime.
I'll put the
Never
word out. I definitely want folks to listen and support what you're doing. So you keep doing the great work, man. It's been a pleasure.
You too, Kay.
All right, brother. God bless.
You too. All right, Dons and Divas. That's K.L. Belvin. Make sure you get his novel, From Gigolo to Jesus. It's an amazing book that can prove that your life can change for the better if you really wanted to. Coming up next, Sicko, The Main Thing. He's an author, director, and musician. We will be right back talking to him about his novel, Stubborn Child of God, and we will be playing his smashing single, Compensation, and find out what's his next move in the music industry. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Oh. see, to live, and to suffer. To survive, well, that's to find meaning in the suffering.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear.
I've been through mad different phases, like mazes, to find my way. And now I know that happy days are not far away. If I'm strong enough, I'll live long enough to see my kids doing something more constructive with the time than biz. I know because I've been there, now I'm in there. Sit back and look at what it took for me to get there. First came the ball, the drama with my mama. She got on some flash, so I split and said that I'ma be that seed that doesn't need much to succeed. Strapped with mad greed, a heart that doesn't bleed. I'm ready for the world, or at least I thought I was. Bagging when I caught a buzz, I was thinking about how short I was. Going too fast, it wouldn't last, but yo, I couldn't tell. Group homes and institutions prepared my ass for jail. They put me in a situation forcing me to be a man when I was just learning to stand without a helping hand. Damn, was it my fault? Something I did to make a father leave his first kid at 7 doing my first bid. Back on the scene at 14, wrote a scheme to get more green than I'd ever seen in a dream. And by all means, I will be living high off the hog. I never gave a fuck about much but my dog. That's the only I'd head off in my last. Just another little come on, headed nowhere fast.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping.
That ain't the half. Arrogance worse as I get older. Actions become bolder. Heart got cold. Chip on my shoulder that I didn't touch. Didn't need a click because I scared it that much. One deep with the starting for kick. Catching Vicks, throwing bricks. Getting by, being slick. Used to get high just to get by. Used to have to fall. In the morning before I could fly, I ate something. Couple of 40s made me hate something. After some hurt, now I'm ready to take some. 3 years later, showing signs of stress. Didn't keep my hair cut or give a how I dress. I'm possessed by the darker side, living the cruddy life. Like this, kept a with a bloody knife. Wanna make records, but I'm holding up. I'm slipping, I'm falling, can't get up.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping.
Wasn't long before I hit rock bottom. Like damn, look how that got open like a window, no more endo. Look at a video, say to myself that could have been yo. It's on the TV, believe me, could be done. Something got to give, got the changes, now I got a son. I got to do the right thing for shorty, and that means no more getting high, drinking 40. So I get back, looking tight, slick again. Fake, jump back on my again. Nothing but love for those that know how it feel. And much respect to all my kept it real. Be strong, kept it from doing wrong. Who they is, and this is your song. And to my boo, who stuck with it, I do. All the fools, you get yours, because you do.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear. I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can tear.
Dons and Divas, welcome back. This is GQ Palace. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to the guest or stay on the line to hear the show. Right now, with me, I have Sicko, the main thing. Sicko, welcome to the show.
GQ Palace, what up, man?
Sicko, what it do? What it do? How you doing this evening, man?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. Can't complain. Long day, but I'm here.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking out the time to join us this evening.
Yep.
You know, I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of things.
I appreciate
going on.
The opportunity.
Thanks a lot, man. Now,
yeah.
Let's get into you right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, how old was you when you first got into music?
Well, I started it when I was about 12 in my uncle's basement, pretty much. Not even his basement, his living room. His living room studio, my Uncle Reg. Big shout out to Uncle Reg. And from there, by 16, I signed my first deal.
Wow.
So that's pretty much how that worked. And that's from living room music.
Okay. And that's right, because you signed your first deal with Die Hard Records, CMC Music. Right?
Die Hard Records. Yep. I signed my first deal with Die Hard Records when the Trouble Neck Brothers, I don't know if you remember them, but the Trouble Neck Brothers, they was doing pretty good for themselves. And they started their own label, Nat Nelson. Shout out to him. And, you know, he heard me, pretty much heard a little demo I had, and he wanted to rock from there. I was with it.
And that's how you just landed that deal like that.
That's how I just landed that deal. I mean, it was just as simple as on the corner, like, yo, Nat, hear this. Word? I want you to rock with me. I'm like, all right, cool.
Let's move up a little. Now, you shared the spotlight with some big names in the music industry. Jay-Z, Wu-Tang Clan, Fat Joe, Boot Camp, the late Biggie Smalls. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's that same era. That's that same 96, 97 era when I signed the Die Hard team. We was everywhere. We was performing everywhere. So I was on stage with pretty much anybody who was hot back in the day. Fudgy the Fat Bastard. What's this dude? I mean, everybody. Helter Skelter. Biggie, you know, I got the opportunity to sit backstage with him on 125th Street. I got in front of the state building. It was outside, too. It was crazy. But, you know, that's an experience I'll never forget because it's only going to be one Biggie. So, you know, that's pretty much the only opportunity I really got to share the spotlight with Biggie Smalls, just sitting on the side of him. Like, you know, I was a celebrity. I was 16 years old. I was feeling good about it, too. This is Biggie.
All right. Exactly, you know. He's the greatest. He was the greatest. And they still doing what he do. You know what I mean?
I love Biggie.
Now, I want to get into something like, okay, I'm going to call like a touchy situation with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you live on Burnside Avenue.
This is correct.
Right?
Nah, I don't live over there, but that's where I'm from.
That's where you're from, Burnside Avenue.
Yep.
To be exact. And the state is talking about it landed your brother 20 years in prison, sentence. You know, did you think that had something to do with the economy on that note? Explain that to us.
It was way worse back then than what it is now, because, you know, if you didn't have lawyer money, to me, if you didn't have lawyer money, you know, you could expect to get a big number. And I think that's what my brother went through. You know, he really ain't fit no descriptions. There wasn't no case they had against him, but, you know, he got 21 years, you know what I mean? So, you know, it was totally different back in those days. It was pretty much, like I said, if you're from a neighborhood, if you're from a certain neighborhood, they already look at you a certain way. Cops already know you by nickname. So, and plus, if you already got a prior, you know, it's so easy to be convicted. And
That's
pretty much what my brother went through. You know, he had just came home. He spent 34 days home. And he just came home from a one-year stretch. Spent 34 days home, and then before you know it, he got sentenced to 21. So, and that was a good 15 years ago. Strong brother, because you speak to him on the phone, it's like he ain't even doing no bit. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's just holding it down. And see, that's what's bad about economy now, because they're going straight about your appearance instead of your mentality. And that's the bad thing about the economy right now. You know, especially the fact, sorry to say, but like we were talking about the subject earlier, but in that situation, it's the fact of being a young black man right now. And if you got on the jewelry or whatever, or just your whole appearance, cops is going to watch you.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. And big ups to K.O. Belvin, because I was listening to him. He's a real, real intellectual brother. But, this is absolutely correct. You know, especially being where you, if you're from a certain neighborhood, you already got a label. If you're from a certain neighborhood, you dress a certain way, you know, like I said, you already got a label. You got to sit in an interview and give them a cheek-to-cheek smile. And that's the reason why us as brothers, we got to educate ourselves a little more, because then we don't have to give them the cheek-to-cheek smile. We can sit that paper on the desk that speaks for ourselves and smiles for us. So that's why I'm promoting now.
Oh, all right. Now, let me ask you. You were shot, you were stabbed, and still before the age 21, you lived to tell about it. How did you get through that part of your life, you know what I mean, pull back, knowing how cruel the streets can be, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You decided to go back to church. How did you manage that?
For me, I was always the leader of the pack. Anybody who would speak my name would pretty much say that, you know, I wouldn't say I was running with a crew. I was, you know what I mean, the crew, so to say. And so it's easy to say I'm done with this when you lead something. When you following, it's hard to say that, but when you lead, it's pretty much, you know, I've done what I could do, you know, and I've taken what I could take. Y'all on your own now, Chief. I need some bread. That's pretty much what that's it turned out. That's pretty much how that turned out for me. Plus, it wasn't really nothing happening on the block. Everybody, you know, nowadays, everybody snitching on each other.
Uh-huh,
hate to
exactly.
put it like that, but everybody snitching on each other. So once you grab one, you grab a pack. So I took myself out of the pack. You ain't grabbing me from the pack. So
okay.
That was my decision. And then it all, when you say going back to church, you know, I say I strayed away from church, but it was always in my heart. You know, I was always taught growing up. I had to go to church. I was in church maybe like 5 days a week, and the same people that was in church with me, they just left the corner saying, "Yo, you need to get off this corner." So they already knew how I was. So it was almost like they was family. So with that said, it never left my heart. It was just, you know, I was strayed away because of a situation in church, because I felt like you know. Somebody made a statement, and I felt like it was towards me because of the way, going back to the way you dress or the way, you know, where you're from, and I was pretty much the only one in the pews dressed like this.
Okay.
So
okay.
I kind of took offense to it. It parted me a lot. It parted me a lot because this was the only church, like I said, this is the church that raised me. This is the church that I knew them as family. So it's hard to say once you go into a church for all your life, it's hard to say I'm gonna go to the next church next door, because now you got this perception of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to get over that perception. That was my problem. So when I finally got over it, by 21, 22, I was back in the church. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. This is cool.
Okay.
Plus I was dating the preacher's daughter.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was dating the preacher's daughter, so, you know, the evangelist's daughter, so, you know.
All right.
So,
okay, so nothing but good things from there forward. I feel you on that. I definitely feel
you. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm still married with her to this day. I mean, it's 10 years later.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a blessing. That's definitely
a blessing.
Blessing.
It's a blessing. You get your blessings in there. That was my blessing, but, you know, I was dating the preacher's daughter.
Now, in 2006, you started your own corporation that included collaborations with DJ Envy, DJ Cass One of Hot 97, French Montana, who's with Bad Boy now, Tony Sunshine of the Terror Squad, and some more other names in the music industry. How did you come about that?
I took all my money and invested in the music studio. That's it. That was pretty much the easiest thing to do when it comes to hip-hop. You know, everybody needs studios. And not just that, I'm not going to say I'm a whack rapper, because when you're a hot rapper, people want to do songs with you regardless. And when you speak about DJ Envy, I dropped my first mixtape with DJ Cass One, and he was on Hot 97 at the time. And so with DJ Envy, it kind of fell into place. It was kind of pretty much a phone call. Like, I want to do a part two. What you think about this? And, you know, French Montana, he was on his way up. He started the Cocaine City. Well, he was already popping. That Cocaine City DVD thing was already popping. So all I really needed to do was call him and tell him I wanted to do something. He was at my studio the next day, and he had the Coke Boys. Now they known as the Coke Boys, but they had different names then. But all of them was in my studio. Then I contact Tony Sunshine. I'm like, you know, I got this mixtape out, but I need a single. So, you know, next thing you know, he was in the studio. He heard the beat, and he vibed to it. He just, the hook, he made the hook before I made the song. I made my song based on the hook he made.
All right, we're definitely going to get into something that you did with him tonight, too, right?
Who's that, Tony Sunshine?
No,
French.
French, exactly.
Yeah, we definitely do. I sent you one.
All right, we're definitely going to get into that. So let me ask you, what we're actually going to get into right now before we get into that is your single, Inseparable Memories.
Yeah. I didn't even blast that. Believe it or not, you like the first person with that.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I'm serious. Nobody, you saying that, but it's like nobody knows I have a song called Inseparable Memories. You say my single, but I'm glad you pushing it as a single because I'm going to push it as a single now. But
yeah,
I just spent all day today. When I say I had a long day, that's what I was doing all day, was shooting a video for that.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
we got
today, yesterday.
GQ Palace first is being played.
Say it again?
GQ College is being played first on the air, and right now we have over 700 listeners, so we're going to push this to the limit.
Oh, yeah, this is the truth. This is the truth.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas, this is Sicko, the main thing, and one of his singles, Inseparable Memories. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Buster.
Like butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Hello?
Love you. I love you, honey. I love you.
You know, I'm a realist, so I like to keep it real. Things just ain't been the same since you've been gone. Things just ain't been the same since you've been gone. I know I betrayed you so, but you my favorite though. When she was doing bad, I act like super saver ho. And then I realized that you played a greater role. And she ain't do nothing but making niggas paper slow. Plus you my everything, my sun and moonlight. I can make everything right in just a few nights. I can show you the whole world in just a few flights. I put you in that 7 series if you move right. Unique in a special way. She intelligent, but for that paper, she hit the players club like Lisa Ray. I ain't wanna make believe. I took a hard hit. Everybody telling me to take it and leave. Or I can make it work. I can make it work. I understand that I can never replace the hurt. All that stressing had a nigga confessing. Fucking listening to Usher. I done threw away a blessing.
I thought you wasn't trying, and my heart kept fighting.
I'm filthy rich, and we argue every time you mention her name, and I call her a filthy bitch, cause misery loves company, new in the spot they wanna be, plus you my only one, and it's sad, but I gotta face the fact, I can't take back what I've done, I can't erase the past, but we can race the jag, and hit the 7-room mansion, new place to crash, it's been my first night since we parted, a lot of catching up to do, so of course we started. But my phone rung and that's it. You know the response.
You know,
oh, you still keeping in touch
my
with that
wasn't
bitch.
Trying, and my heart kept fighting.
Inseparable.
Memories unforgettable.
so lost in them streets. Talk first, think never. Now I'm putting thoughts together. How much would it cost me to cherish her? I let the streets just control my life. Never thought of the consequences when I rolled my dice. Even worse, I played the same role back twice. And now I'm so lost. Fucked up picture and used the same Kodak twice. I thought one day they'd throw that right. I know I caused you some pain. I was lame and I hate how I feel. We was like B and J, Jade and Will. All to the destiny, play with a will. Now I'm begging you to stay with me still. I know it makes not a bit of sense to you, cause you started a new life.
Are you sure?
But are you sure what you're doing is right?
Sound like you wasn't trying.
Yes, man, yes.
You doing it. You're doing it. Now,
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Now, you got the feature artist, Michelle Sings, right? Mm-hmm. How did y'all link up to do that?
Me and Michelle, we've been friends since she was a baby, since she was running around in the hallway with Pampers on. So you know, it was just pretty much reaching back into my hub with that one. Everybody kept telling me, when everybody kept calling me from the hub, when you gonna do a song with Michelle? When you gonna do a song with Michelle? I'm like, all right, let me call Michelle for this one. It sounded like a perfect one for her, and she great. She came to the studio, yeah, and she heard the song, because the song was already made. I had that song made for quite some time. I just had it sitting around. I just ain't find the right voice for it. So when she heard it, everything that you hear right there was straight up, just straight off the top. Like, she's amazing.
She killed it. She definitely killed it. Now,
yeah, she's amazing.
How did you come up with that concept for that single?
Well, I'm big on concepts. So with that one, it's just like so many people deal with relationships anyway. I mean, relationship drama anyway. And 9 out of 10 relationship drama involves another person. So that's the reason why. That's why I came up with that one. That one was like the easiest concept. My whole mixtape, my whole anything I've done, that was like probably like the easiest concept ever, because I'm in a relationship for 10 years. So need I say more? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, exactly. No more need to be said. Exactly. Now,
yeah, bitch.
You was also in magazines, right? Tell us.
I've been in a few
that.
Magazines. I've been in a few different magazines. I ain't been in a magazine in a minute, to be honest with you, because I'm just coming back out after writing this book. But
mm-hmm.
I've been in a few magazines. One of them, Streets Most magazine, when he was first started taking, well, they ain't first started taking, I think it was in like their fourth edition, and it was doing pretty well. They called me, asked me, do I want a full page write up? So I got the full page write up. I did the Source Spit 16, whatever magazine, Joe Raps.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a few different magazines, but overall, the biggest ad I had was in Streets Most magazine. They actually promoted my single. When I did the single with Tony Sunshine, they actually mm-hmm. gave me a full-page write-up. So I'm like, all right, cool, let's do this.
All right, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of your book, let's get into that, your novel, The Stubborn Child
yep.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
What made you name your book The Stubborn Child of God?
You know, because I was raised in the church. I was raised in the church setting. Not necessarily, I'm not going to say raised in the church setting, but, you know, because when you say raised in the church setting, I feel like, you know, you had to put, your heart was into it. But me, you know, I was just there. You know, my mom's made me go there, so I had to sit there, you know, falling asleep, slapping somebody in the back of the head. Hey, boy, you falling asleep over there. And that's pretty much what it was. My heart really wasn't into it. Now, I mean, I had to go to Bible study, whatever you want to call it. I had to go. Prayer night, spending nights there, because I dealt with situations, more spiritual situations. And so we had to spend nights in church. And
until it kind of built it built me. It built me. It stuck to me more and more and more. But, however, when I left the church grounds, I was still sicko. I was still, you know, I was still running in the streets, still doing what I was doing after getting the word of God. That's the reason why I came up with the title, The Stubborn Child of God. Because it's like, when I think of that title, all I think is mom slapping me in the back of the head. Boy, you already know the good book. You being stubborn. You know what I'm saying? So,
true fact,
yeah,
right,
that's
there.
How I came up with that.
That's a true fact right there.
Yeah, it's true. Mom's, hey, boy, you know what you're doing. So that's why I came up with that title.
All right. We have a caller on the line for you. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have Sicko, the main thing, on the line.
Hey, how are you doing, Sicko?
I'm all right, and yourself?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
This is good.
I just want to tell you that the song is really amazing.
You'll
just transition from going from one thing to the church. Couldn't have been any better.
I appreciate that.
I mean, you know, 10 years, that's saying a lot. You know, girlfriend, boyfriend to marriage. What else can you want?
Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
And I just want to say, hey, keep going forward, hands down. Your music is the bomb. And I hope it doesn't interfere with your personal life, which I'm sure it doesn't, because that's what you were doing when you met her, probably.
This is true.
But I just want to say to you and your wife, keep moving forward. And keep trusting in God, because if it wasn't for you trusting in God, you probably wouldn't be where you are today.
Nah, this is true. All we got to do is X out the probably, and this is definitely a true statement.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, Inseparable is just, it's really, you did it on that.
I appreciate it even more, because this is actually the first time that song is actually played on the air, like literally the first time. So I really appreciate it.
That's an amazing thing for it to be played on GQ Palace.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing.
And like I say, just keep up the good work and always put God first, and I know you're going to go to the top.
Oh, I can appreciate that. I'm going to remember this conversation.
No problem.
I'm going to remember this conversation.
No problem at all. And take care.
Thank you, baby. You take
You're
care,
welcome.
Too.
We have another caller on the line for you. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have Sicko on the line?
Yep.
I just want to say Inseparable Memories is an excellent song. And to hear the title of the book, your book, The Stubborn Child of God, is amazing, because so many people can relate to, when they're younger, just being in church and falling asleep in church and not really wanting to be there and not really hearing the word that's being given, but just being there and falling asleep and having your mom or the ushers smack you in the back of the head saying, wake up, you know, pay attention. I think so many people can relate to it, and being a Christian myself and having so many other Christian friends and prayer warriors out there, it's just so many different people that, you know, they live, they go to church, they hear the word, and then as soon as they leave church, they're doing something different. And
yeah,
not
they
necessarily,
forgot it.
Exactly. And not necessarily saying that they're not listening to the word, but they're hearing it, but their life is different compared to what the Bible says, you know.
Yeah, they react more off the visual.
Exactly. And nowadays, it's in our generation, it's more like you pay attention to the word, but then you know that at the end of the day, when I leave church, I have to do X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to say X, Y, and Z when someone, you know, ticks me off, which is not exactly the word of God, so to speak, but you try to, you know, make sense of what's going on. But the stubborn child of God, that's a given by itself. And so many people are going to purchase the book just by the title itself, because there's so many people that hear that title and they're going to say Stubborn Child of God. I'm living that. That's me. You know, they can relate on so many different levels. So
I know what I want to do, but I'm not doing it.
Exactly. And in order to get those blessings, you need to do what you need to do, you know, and we all, you know, we all know that. And to
this
keep,
is true.
You know, I would say like the other caller said, you know, keep putting God first and everything else falls into place. He's the reason why we have the blessings that we have.
Ah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Take care. Now, God
Sickle.
Bless you. Word.
Now, Sickle, your novel, is that about your life, or are you just giving point of views in the hard times and tribulations, you know, that people
Nah, this is my life. This is completely my life. 100% my life, but it's for people to take from it because a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it. Like, I have a huge family. So when I talk about my life, it's not just on Burnside. I understand I'm from Burnside, but it's not just on Burnside. I've spent time in Soundview. I have cousins in Soundview. I have family in Edenwall. I have family all over. Like I spent summers in so many different projects and hoods that a lot of people can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. But overall, what it's to say is once it wheels them in. And once they read, it's even poetry in it, believe it or not. But once they read it, and it wills them in, and it's like, I can relate to this, I can relate to this, but what is he getting to? There's an ultimate ending, which is pretty much, I'm going to just say this, like, it goes to the extent of what you can resist. That's the extent you'll be blessed. Let me just say that.
Right.
Like, you know, if you used to, letting off a gun, let's say that. Because, you know, we talk about street stuff and we talk about me getting my shot wounds and my stab wounds. But if you're used to that and it comes a time where you have to do that, either do that or trust in God. Now, if you're used to doing that, if you're used to resorting to that gun, but now all of a sudden you're going to try this new thing, like getting down on your knees and saying, can you fix this for me? And then you know, when you'll notice the difference when it works out.
Exactly. I definitely agree with
you
on that.
That's pretty much what the book is about.
I definitely agree with you on that one. Now, of course, you're writing about your life, so that's what inspired you to write your novel. Now, are you doing self-publishing, or are you looking for a publishing company to publish your novel?
Right now, I don't even consider that because the novel's like sitting on my lap. Most likely, it's going to be self-publishing because my name is growing more and more and more as the days go by. I'm directing people videos. I'm doing songs with, you know, people that got established names. And before you know it, once my name is sitting on a certain level, then I'll release the book and self-publish it. It's just I'm just big on the fan base.
Okay, okay.
That's pretty much it.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right. No,
gotta
finish.
That's what it is. I'm big on the fan base, so I'm building up my fan base before I actually drop this book. Even though a book is never going to depreciate, but you know, it's just like, you know, people buy more when they're expecting it rather than something that's already on the shelf.
Okay, let me ask you now: if you had to give some good random advice to someone from a phrase out of your book or a quote out of your book, what would it be?
Wow, this is 530 pages. Oh, man.
Even if it's just two words, what would it be that in your book that you would tell somebody?
I'm going to just say the devil humiliates anyone who's willing to listen. Anyone who is spiritually vulnerable.
Wow.
There you go. That's pretty much phrase. From the book, you know, because when I say spiritually vulnerable, it's, you know, not to say it's nothing wrong with being atheist, but you are technically spiritually vulnerable when you don't know your word or the person. Like you wouldn't live with a woman that you don't know her history.
Exactly.
But you would study a man that you don't know nothing about him.
Okay.
So that's what I consider spiritually vulnerable, because you don't really know what you're studying. You don't really know the extent that he could protect you. So what you're doing is you just
out there. You're just vulnerable. You just, if somebody could whisper something in your ear, and automatically you can turn left when you were supposed to have been walking, kept walking straight.
Mm-hmm.
So he humiliates, basically he humiliates anybody willing to listen.
I could definitely feel you on that. What I want to do right now is to get into that smashing single of yours, Compensation.
Yeah, that's a totally different feel, though. That's nothing like Inseparable Memories.
No, baby.
That's nothing religious at all, though.
Yeah, it's fire, though. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's fire. So what I want to do, I want to get into that single, and we're going to come back and talk about it.
Nah, I appreciate it.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas, here's some more Flames by Sicko. The Main Thing, his smashing single, Compensation. Feel it. Feel this fire that y'all about to get hit with. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby.
It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I told them boys, speak with respect when you're embracing a supplier. I'm a boss, so my expectations is higher. Listen.
I want a brand new whip with some other features. Yeah. Niggas say his bag's bigger, but the butter's weaker. Yeah. He went and copped the same amount, but his cutter's cheaper. Yeah. I put the arm to his neck, no fucking sleeper. I done everything from shoplifting to shopping snow. Like ride by, drop off krills, I guess I rock and roll. I can put tracks out and greet the critics when I speak to foes. Or I can put some high quality out that only take a week to grow. But either O, who is he? When you was pushing for one, I wanted two or three. I'm with bosses from a different segment. Jamaicans ready to get deported. So listen, brethren. Tip the waiter. This is where the convo ends. Explain your entourage why I'm doing different things. I'm so fly, I've been fly. I'm getting sick of bling. Now this eagle, fly him away. Lift his wings. I love money. Avenue full of fiends. Big ears and a shape up. Got me feeling like Wolverine. One whistle will have him off cause my pull is mean. He only got gangster in his talk when he full of steam. I pull a beam, chase. Chase clapping with something that'll probably have my shoulder out of place. I'll expose the nigga truth. Clap the poker out his face. No, for real, dog. Talk to me for real. Compensation.
I'm a boss, I'm a boss. So I'm really, really about my bread. With my back against the wall. Reaction of a off. And a couple niggas claiming they outhold my head. You fuck up my bread. There's nothing I can hear. I make it quite clear. Telling me no good over here. There's nothing I can hear. I make it quite clear. Telling me no good over here. Hold up. Wait. Watch the nigga run. He never fucked abroad, so that's not the nigga's son. And I'll be on the run when the chopper hit his lung. I got straight hammers on deck.
You shopping for a gun.
Now G's wanna see me in bars, they like punishing. Bras like you should gain your weight back, you look funny slim. Yams like keep your weight. Jesus with a freezing face. The Mexicans that deliver more dough than the pizza place. So you see that it's a lot that's at stake here. That's why we talk across the fucking table, we don't play fair. I've encountered all kind of fiends. Had the North Face with the stash by the hoodie, now that's what I call collard greens. Not to mention that sticky from them Dominicans who blew trail but came back winners on a sentencing. Money talk, money get a nigga free. Money, how you going in? Let me tell you what it did to me. Listen, it was late night. Should have been laid up in the bed, but I was posted on the corner with some shit up on my head. When I ran up on Dread, told him, trust me, I'm a shooter. When the Ruger give it to you, the maneuver, your medulla. And homie, know we eating, but we all gluttons. Never switching, we hold a still longer than the pause button. If it's a siren and you hear it, nigga, flush it. But upon bail, no need to discuss it. Compensation.
I'm a boss, I'm a boss, so I'm really, really about my bread. With my back against the wall, reaction of a off. And a couple niggas claiming they out for my head. You fuck up my bread, there's nothing I can hear. I make it quite clear, telling me no good over here. There's nothing I can hear, I make it quite clear, telling me no good over here. I'm a boss, so I'm really, really about my bread. With my back against the wall, reaction of a off. And a couple niggas claiming they outhold my head. You fuck up my bread, there's nothing I can hear. I make it quite clear, telling me no good over here. There's nothing I can hear, I make it quite clear, telling me no good over here.
Sicko, shit, I'm back.
Yes.
You is definitely killing it right now. You are killing it right now.
I appreciate
you
it, man.
Oh, let me tell, listen, people, the number to go on the line, you have to press 1. The number is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to speak to Sicko or stay on the line to hear the show. We have a caller on the line for you right now, Sicko. Then we're going to get into that conversation. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
All right,
what's up,
man? Sicko on the line.
What's up, man?
Ain't none. How you?
I'm chilling, man. I just wanted to ask you, with the compensation song,
yeah,
are you saying that you're looking for compensation, or are you waiting for it, or what's up with that?
Well, that's boss talk. It's boss talk. It's like, you know, you got money out there, and, you know, it's both verses is like two totally different verses. The second verse is pretty much, you know, you working for me, you got locked up, and come out, and I need my money. It's boss talk. If we ain't talking money, it ain't boss talk.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a deep song, though.
Thanks.
And, you know, like I said, yeah, you got it going on, young man. And I just want to, you know, give you props where props is due.
I appreciate it.
That's due to you, you know, because you're handling things, you know, your marriage, everything like that. And hands down, I just, you know, give you the credit for it.
I appreciate it so much.
My prayers are with you and your family.
I'm sorry, say it again?
I said your prayers are with you and your family, my prayers.
Oh, I appreciate it. My prayers going out to you, too.
Thanks.
What's your name?
My name's Jerry.
Jerry, yeah, we're going to start the prayers tonight going out to you, then.
I think that.
Well, I appreciate it.
Oh, man. All right, Sicko.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to get into the director thing, you know, because
yep. You're
also directing. Now, you actually have a video out for this single right here, right?
Yeah, Compensation. I directed that. Me and a guy named Elroy Isaac. Real good guy.
Now,
he got a real good eye. That's a verse.
So,
yeah,
how long did it actually take you to finish up the production, everything for this track?
Well, for Compensation, I didn't really do the editing part. I did the directing part. So, for the directing part, it was pretty much, and if you saw the video, it's in a bunch of different hoods. And like I said, I'm from a bunch of different Bronx hoods, so I just called everybody downstairs on the day I went to shoot the video. Like, yo, come downstairs, I'm about to do a video. 20 people come running downstairs. Yeah, all right, we out here. And I did that in about 3 different, actually more than 3 hoods, but it just wouldn't have looked right squeezing all that into one video. I mean, if you'd have saw all the hoods I had, it was crazy.
Wow. Now,
yeah.
Let me ask you, how do you manage everything out, being a director, an author, musician, father, husband, working 9 to 5, regular? How do you manage all that out? How do you balance that whole thing out?
I'm still asking myself that, man. It's complicated. I'm serious, man. It's complicated because I'm an active parent. So when I say that, I still got to pick my kids up from school. I still got to be at parents' teacher conference. The teacher called me. I still got to be arriving at the school, kicking the door down, like, yo, son, what you doing in here? But, you know, outside, and once that's done, that's the most important thing in my life, taking care of them little ones. So once that's done, everything else pretty much falls into place for me. I get calls, and they tell me I need – directing is the quickest thing for me because I have a good eye. So it's like the quickest thing, and then editing is in my house. So while I'm in my house editing, these little knuckleheads is bothering me, and we playing basketball in the room in between time. So that's how I get to do that. And my studio is in my house.
Wow, okay.
So, you know – I just spend a lot of time home. My library's downstairs, so I just, like I said, I don't really go nowhere, man. If it ain't about money, or let me correct myself. If it ain't about fellowship or money, I'm in the house.
Okay. Now, you also got mixtapes and everything out right now, right? Do you have any mixtapes out? Some before, or some coming out now, or
Yeah, I got a mixtape coming out tonight, tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Hosted by DJ Vlad, Vlad TV. I designed it myself. I designed everything from the book to the website, thestubbornchildofgod.com. Matter of fact, callers, listeners, while you're listening, you could tune in to www.thestubbornchildofgod.com. Made no sense to wait to the end to get that out of the way. But anyway,
okay.
So what was I getting at? Because I just lost my chain of thought just now. I really did. I'm so focused
your
on the website trying to.
You know, your mixtape's coming out.
Oh, yeah, the mixtape. Yeah,
tonight.
DJ Vlad is coming out. It features a lot of people: French Montana, OomP, Bangladesh, Goods, Rich Dollars, the Coke Boys. It features a lot of people. I'm still out there. I'm still running around shaking hands with people. So, and the next one, I'm halfway through the next one. This one was pretty much like, you know, I got to say it again.
No, so you pretty much got your format stated out already.
Yeah, because this mixtape right here was just pretty much a reminder because I took so much time off to write this book. I had to give him a reminder that I'm still a musician.
Okay.
So with this one, this only took, I kid you not, this entire mixtape, 21 songs, took me about 2 weeks. At the most. I'm being nice when I say 2 weeks, because it might have been shorter, but I don't want to seem like I rushed it. But it took me about 2 weeks to do that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I want to do right now, because we is getting kind of short on time, I want to get into that track you got with French Montana. You got somebody else on that track, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, OomP. His name is OomP. Yep, the Bronx is back.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now, we're going to get into that single. The Bronx is Back, featuring OomP and French Montana. Remember when
hosted
you heard
by DJ, produced by DJ Toomp. I can't forget that guy.
All right, DJ Toomp. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Power.
Entertainment.
It's butter, baby.
It's like butter, baby. I like that.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Gia. That's how we gon' do it, right? Cause I ain't no rapping ass nigga, right? You know why I'm comfortable saying I run the Bronx and all that crazy shit? And I got my niggas in the Bronx with me and all that. Cause there ain't a secret about us out here, homie. You come around, you see me flying. Quarter mil, you dig?
And I'm clapping, so please don't mistake it for rap.
I'm mistaken.
Talking too often, I'm more than making it happen.
Make it happen, nigga.
Don't understand when I'm packing,
right?
And I don't share shit. There can only be one captain. Look, nigga, I'm hyping vet.
Yeah.
Nigga, I'm twice the threat.
Yeah.
Ain't gotta see you to get you touched like cyber sex. Why you running your mouth? That's the reason I cut the talking to a minimum, like my minutes is running out. Now I'm straight clapping. Nigga, I hate scratching. A prophet with the mic, sorta like Mace rapping. I make noise, so call me the thunder. I don't do it for fame, I do it to nurture my hunger. Homie, you'll get popped like speakers. I got sons on the streets and they ain't got my features. He a snitch, nigga tell a life story in music. And he know too much, I think somebody walked me in.
Hey, yo, you fucking with my dog? Niggas will stomp your face into the floor. Then you'll be sipping your dinner from a straw. I'm getting hated and seeing why. It's cause when I'm in the drive, all I gotta do is lift my head up to see the sky. Yeah, about the floors, just wait. With a cereal watch covered up in frosted flakes. And the chain gonna track a lot of hobbies. Cause fuck icing out Jesus' head, I'ma ice his whole body. The pump in the lobby, I ain't keep the fours on me. Eight grabs held the guns in the corner store for me. Got a bunch of wild niggas that'll go to war for me. Empty the clip to send me a spit, put you in a fucking morgue for me. I don't care if you a diesel ass cut up nigga. I still get your diesel ass cut up nigga. Don't run up nigga, get done up nigga. My eyes open from sundown, sun up nigga.
We're bringing the Bronx back. This is all fat. Get your skull cracked, ribs and all that. That V is all black. For a grip, play the strip, flip it all back. Look thick, yeah, I spit flows. Pop pitch O's, better fans. Call the bank scams, wires like money grams. But 20 grams, this one got me off the stoop. Work bagged up, workers I recruit. Handling the pot, so I lay up in the drop. French Montana gonna scramble to the top. Homie, South Bronx, USA. The young Nicky Bonds, move that yay. Ken Con, a con man, a priest.
to acquire. I feel 100 miles over the clouds. This rap shit easy and I'm getting money.
Getting money.
This rap broke niggas still looking funny.
Definitely doing it. Ain't no question about it.
Yep. I appreciate it.
See, the thing I'm at, because we're running out of time, and I really want to have you back on. You know, I know you're busy, so when you get a chance, you know, just let me know when we could come back on and, you know, continue an interview with you. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I want you to give them all your information. How they can hear your tracks, what you want, Reverb Nation, iTunes, Twitter, get them all the information right now.
All right, so you can just search me, Sicko the Main Thing. Google search me. I'll pop up. Sicko the Main Thing, or you can go straight to the website, www.thestubbornchildofgod.com, or email me, sickomusiconline@gmail.com. Email me. I'm a businessman, so email me.
All right, no doubt. Now, is there any shout-outs you want to give?
Yeah, shout-out to GTS Squad. Shout-out to Brandon, my director. Shout-out to Michelle Singh. Shout-out to GQ Palace, Rich Money. Shout-out to Lavina, because she bought her business, too. Shout-out to
everybody.
I'm serious, man, because I'm serious.
Everybody shout out Lavina. Everybody.
Yeah, I'm shouting out everybody.
Shout out
to Terrell Blair, Hood Life DVD, too, because he look out for me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Sicko. Once again, I really want to thank you for joining us. You know, when you get those exclusives, send them in so we can play them, pull them on the previews that we be sending out and everything.
I got you, bro. All
right, Sicko. Thanks again for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me. GQ Palace, this is what it is. Sicko!
All right.
Yep.
Coming up next, we have Ray from Ray Production, one of the biggest promoters in New York. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace. Love
it's butter, baby.
Cell phone, try and catch a flight. You know one thing straight, I'll be there, girl, whenever you call me. When you at home, that's your man. Soon as you land, you say it's all me. The shit ain't all G with him no more, you ain't entertained. Since I met you a couple months ago, you ain't been the same. Not saying I'm the richest man alive, but I'm in the game. As long as you keep it 100, I'ma spin his chain.
Whenever you need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. Don't know me, I can be your best friend, and you be my homie. I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I fall, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. I'll roll up, I'll roll up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up.
I try to stay out your business, but on the rig, you're so obvious. And if you keep fitting me in your plans of fucking up, your man's gonna catch on to us. That white sand surrounding us. He be handcuffing, he should work for them officers. If you rollin', I got a spot where I can put you on this medical and send you home doctored up. You wanna rob with me cause you say that he boring. Wake up, you rollin' weed, cookin' eggs in the morning. Ain't scared to spend this money, I know I'll make more of it. First you was in the sky, now you say
whenever
you in orbit.
You need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me. I'll be there shortly, don't care what your friends say. If they don't know me, I can be your best friend. And you be my homie, I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I fall, then we all gon' stunt. My way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call.
honestly. Don't care what your friends say, cause they don't know me. I could be your best friend, and you be my homie. I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I ball, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up. Whenever you need me, whenever you want me, you know you can call me, I'll be there shortly. Don't care what your friends say, cause they don't know me. I could be your best friend, and you be my homie. I ain't gon' flex, I'm not gon' front. You know if I ball, then we all gon' stunt. Send her my way, she ain't gotta hold up. Whenever you call, baby, I'll roll up.
Welcome back, Dons and Divas. And with me right now, I have Ray from Ray Productions. Ray, welcome to the show. Ray, what's going on?
What's the deal, Playboy? What's the deal? How are you?
I can't call it. I might spoil it. How you doing, man?
I really want to thank you for taking the time out to join us,
you know.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Now you're in the promotion business, not as well as the production.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, let me ask you. Well, just a general question. How's promotion life treating you? Is it a good thing? You know, how's everything going with it?
Well, I mean, you know, not to brag, but I haven't worked an actual 9-to-5 job since 1998. So, I mean, you know, pretty much that's self-explanatory.
Oh, okay. Now, would you say being a promoter is something that you can make a career out of? You know, if things is going good?
Absolutely, yes, definitely. You know, just like anything else, you know, if you apply yourself, if you're about your business, and you have to remember again that this is a business. A lot of people get caught up in this just for whether they're doing it just for the girls or just for the look or just to be cool or just to, you know, a brand new trend is to be a promoter, just to throw a party. I don't do it for none of those reasons. I do it because it's a business and I make money doing it.
Exactly. So you take, just like you take a regular 9-to-5 job, if you have a boss, but it's just you're the boss, if you're taking it as you being your own boss in that whole environment.
Exactly. And I probably work harder and I do more work than people do all day at their regular 9-to-5, which, I mean, we all know people sit at their job all day talking about I'm bored, I ain't got nothing to do, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, when I hear that, it's funny when people be like, oh, you promote, like, you know, like it's nothing, but yet they're at their job doing nothing all day long.
Exactly. So in a promotional field, it's like, you might as well say with some jobs, it's harder doing a promotional business than a person's regular 9-to-5.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's some people that if you were to take what they did and compare it to what I did, they wouldn't. It's not even a comparison. They wouldn't even be able to exist. Like they got to stay with their 9-to-5 because that's what they have to do. I mean, because you got to remember again, a lot of people try to do this. A lot of people start out trying to do this. But this is a job, and you have to take the seriously. It is a business, and it is a real job. You know, it takes money, it takes investors, it takes the proper team. You know, it takes teamwork. You know, just like any team, football team, like everyone has a position, everyone has to play their position, everyone has to do their job in order to be successful, and that's what we strive to do. You know, these events and promoting these events.
Okay, so let me ask you, what would you say is the hardest thing about being a promoter?
I mean, there's a lot of hard aspects as far as being a promoter. I mean, obviously, I've been doing this for a while, so it's sort of, you know, the first thing, like anything else, is that you have to build up your following. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to hire the hottest DJ and hire an athlete or video vixen or whatever, and all these people are just going to come just because of the club. No, you have to have an actual follower, people that will follow you. You know, I started from, you know, doing house parties out in Queens. People know, you know, I used to do these big, lavish barbecue parties out in Queens and in Brooklyn. And it just manifested itself into a following of people that just follow me. Like, because I've always been known, my party's always been known for having good music, a good vibe and good music. You know, good DJs, good music, a good following. You know, it's a very, very mixed, very, very diverse following that I have. And people like that. I can take people from all different aspects of life and bring them all together and have a good time. So, I have my bougie people, I have my hood people, I have my white people, standing, you know, something for everybody.
Yeah. So, like, starting from the foundation, you got to have a format out, exactly like a plan, exactly how you're going to go about doing things, and make sure you put in that exact format that you have it in.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't always work out, obviously, because, you know, nothing is guaranteed. But, I mean, that's just business anyway, you know. Nothing is guaranteed, you know, besides the hard work that you put in. The one thing that promoters don't do is they don't put in hard work, and when they don't see results, and they get discouraged. But that's because they're not, you know, they're not on the grind. They're not doing the work that it takes to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, when you do all the work that you do, and you're not, then at least you can say, hey, look, we tried, and I'm saying we did everything possible that we could, and it still wasn't successful, then, you know, That's not a. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, like they say, everything in life is a chance. Like they say, scared money don't make no money. So you got to take that chance. You know exactly on how you plan on doing the situation. You know.
Correct. Correct.
So, how long have you been doing promotional events?
I actually started in the business as an actual DJ. So I started off as an actual club DJ. So a lot of people know me as being a DJ, my DJ name DJ Big Ray. And then from that, it just turned over. You know, I started realizing that I had a huge following. Like everywhere where I used to DJ at, I always brought a lot of people out. So, you know, back when the DJs was actually DJs, they used to get paid to DJ. You know, instead of me getting paid $600 to DJ for a night, I said, listen, you guys are making $5,000-$6,000 at the door. Now, which one are you at? You know, I did my first big party. I was very successful, and I haven't looked back since.
Okay. Now, let me ask you. Now, I know in the promotional business they have jealousy and haters when it comes to doing events. Because we don't have promoters on the air already, and some already talked about, you know, how you have the jealous guys, and you know, some of them feel like, oh, right, well, his party is better than mine or whatever. I don't know if you go through that, but if it was to come down, how did you get through all that? Because you is a big promoter.
Well, I mean, you know, for me, obviously, you know, with age comes wisdom. And, I mean, those kind of things, those type of things is more generated for the younger generation, the younger crowd. Like, they get caught up in things like that. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and act like, you know, like I don't get caught up. I mean, it's very minor to me, those types of things. I mean, you know, you have people that, you know, they're groupies. They only follow certain type of parties. And, you know, I mean, that's cool. I mean, again, if that's the lane that you're in, if that's what you want to do, I mean, I can't knock anybody of what somebody else is doing. You know, I tell my own team of promoters, I say, listen, don't get caught up in what somebody else is doing. Don't get caught up in what somebody else's party or, you know, oh, such and such is doing a party. And listen, if you have your following, if you have your crowd that's coming out for you to support you, then don't worry about what the next person is doing. You know, don't worry about, oh, this party's going on over here. We got competition. How many people live in New York City? There's over 3 million people that live in New York City alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you can get 1% of 3 million people, what are you worried about another party going on around the corner or another party going over here? I mean, you know, it's funny when I hear these comments. It's just excuses for why your party is not successful. You know, again, back to the same thing. So you have a following, that's what the core essence comes down to, you having a following of people that are going to come out and follow you. Now, obviously, you can't control the weather. You know, you can't control people coming out on certain nights. You might have a good night one night and a bad night. But, again, that's all a part of the business, you know.
Exactly. Because you do have the parties with the, you know, you go to the ones with the Timbs and the Boots dress, and then you go with the ones that's the casual dress. To me, it's always the casual dress because you don't have to worry about the nonsense. You understand?
Correct.
You go with the ones with the Timbs and the boots. You got to worry about, you know, getting bumped, and, you know, it comes a time in your life where you have to grow up.
Progression.
You understand?
Just like anything else, progression. I mean, I used to do those types of parties. As you start to get older, you start to, you know, start to get away from doing those type of parties. I mean, your crowd, just like anybody's crowd, like your following, they grow with you, the same thing. So they know, you know, like I have my 9-to-5ers, I have my career people, I have my professionals, you know, I have my lawyers, my doctors, you know. And again, like I said, I mix it in with the hood people too. You know, I have, you know, certain guys that come with tents, but there's an aspect, there's a mindset already set where they know, listen, I got a family, I got kids, I'm coming out to have a good time. I get guys all the time where there could have jumped off very big or very crazy because something somebody else did, disrespectful, whatever the case may be, but they say, you know what, a great party, I'm going to respect, you know, they come, they let me know, or they let one of my people know, great party, that's my people, you know, out of respect, I'm just going to leave. I'll let him know whatever, you know, what the case this girl did or what this guy did, whatever, but I'll just leave before because I know, I respect her. I know, I've known him, and I know of him for a long time, so I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize his business. That's the respect you get after doing this for a while, where people know, listen, I'm not coming in for foolishness, for, you know, like you said, somebody bumping into you or, you know, something stupid. So.
Oh, okay. Now, what's the first thing you do when you promote an event?
Well, just like anything, you got to secure the venue. Obviously, there's places, you know, one of my jokes to all the promoters that, you know, when we talk, is that there's no club that has outlasted us. And what that means is, you know, clubs, they come and they go. You know, some clubs last for a year, some clubs last for 5 years, some clubs last for 10 years, but eventually all clubs come and go. Whether they change the name, whether they change the venue, whether it's, you know, someplace else, there's always going to be a new place to find parties at. So that's one thing I love to do. I love to find new, sexy spots where no one was, they're untouched, where no one has touched it. And I like to go in and really make it happen and make the spot pop off, make everybody be like, oh, wow, dang, that's the spot right here. That's the, you know, that's the new spot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Now, if I wanted to become a promoter and I wanted to start planning an event, what advice can you give me on how to start, you know, promotion?
I mean, like I tell everybody, you know, you got to be serious about it. You know what I'm saying? It's again, like I said, it's a business. That's the main, I mean, I stress that to everybody. Like, this is a business, what you're doing. So everything from top to bottom, from your payout, from your budget, to what you're spending, just like, I mean, we're talking like if I'm opening up a store, you have to know your layout. I mean, and any part of business that you tell, I don't care if in corporate America. I mean, I used to work in corporate America, so that's why my business savvy is crazy. I mean, you have to know your numbers. You have to know every aspect of what you're trying to do, how many people, the venue, what the, you know, the bar numbers, what they're charging, what you're going to charge, what can you charge, are they going to do flyers, what website. I mean, it's a whole list of things that you got to go down as far as what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, every party has a different situation. You know, no party is the same. You know, you have people that want to celebrate birthday parties. You have people trying to sponsor. You have people trying to, you know, sell you something at their party, you know, whether it be you know, like Ciroc came on the scene, but a couple of years ago it was a Hypnotic or a Tycool or, you know, all these different brands, clothing lines, modeling, fashion, you know, sports. I mean, you know, it just goes, the list goes on and on because everyone likes to party. Everyone likes to have a good time and celebrate something.
Okay. Well, we actually have a caller on the line for you. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have Ray from Ray Productions on the line.
Hi, Ray. How are
big
you?
Big Ray.
Big Ray. My fault. Big Ray.
How are you, Big Ray?
I'm good. I'm good. What's your name?
Put some emphasis on that. Mr. Big Ray.
Yes, there you go. That's a big call. Mr. Big Ray.
But anyway, you know, living in New York, And yeah. I'm sure you have done shows in Bronx, Brooklyn, wherever, wherever. What would be your, what would you say was your most money-making town?
In New York or out of New York?
In New York.
Okay. That's actually a good question because actually the best, the most money-making parties are actually out of New York, outside of New York.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But the biggest money maker for New York parties that I do is my annual boat ride parties every year.
When is that?
And that's in the summertime. I do it twice a year. Obviously, it's cold in the wintertime. So for New York,
right.
The boat rides are very big and very huge. I mean, the payout is a lot because obviously to rent out a boat is a lot of money.
Right.
But the payoff, if done right, is very lucrative. So, you know, your boat rides.
I definitely need to know about that because I love boat rides.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people think that a boat, again, like I said, a lot of people think that this is nothing to do these type of events. A boat ride is because the amount of money that you have to spend and the amount of money that you have to chase to go behind people, it's a lot of work,
So do you do the midnight boat rides or?
Exactly. Every year. I do one in June for my Geminis, and then I'm a Leo, so I do my big annual birthday boat ride in August for all my
Leo. Wow. That's what's up. Definitely give Rich and everybody your email or whatever where we can get in contact, where we can stay in contact because, like I said, I love boat rides.
Yeah, I know.
You pay for what you get. If you're going to get the goodness, then, you know, you don't mind paying the price that you're asking for.
Especially back to the same thing. There's certain people that they already know what we offer, and they've been there. Like I said, like I'm going now on, this is like my 10th year now doing boat rides. So there's already a cult following of people that just wait for my boat ride to come around, and they don't even bother going to other boat rides. They don't want to deal with the foolishness. They already know. Listen, this boat ride is nice people, good music, you know, everything is set up for us, you know, so.
Right. I mean, because you have some people that do the boat rides, and it's not all what it's cut out to be, you know? I mean, you know, they can say, oh, we're having an all-black boat ride. We're all having an all-white boat ride. But, you know, you got maybe 10% that's in white. You know, not saying that that's what you got to do. But the music, nor the food, nor the drinks, or the bar is what they said it would be. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
And it makes a hell of a difference when you're paying $50 or $60 for a boat ride, and it's nothing what it was said that it was going to be.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, and I mean, real talk, I would be more than happy to, keep a check on that with the boat rides because, like I said, I am a boat rider. And I would love to, you know, like, hey, participate on one of yours and see what it's about. And let me know if I want to go again.
Most definitely. Well, trust me, once you come, like anybody.
I'm sure I will.
once they come on my boat rides or my part, once they experience it, like I said, it becomes like an annual thing. Like, I have some people that they don't even party during the week like that. Like, they don't go out at all, but when the summertime comes around, my fault. They always hit me up. They email me, tell, yo, when's the first boat ride? When is it? Blah, blah, blah. When's the August joint? You know, like I have people that right now, like literally last week was like, yo, you know, my birthday's in August. When you do it? What's the date? I already told them. Like they hyped them
so
up.
So
like,
you said your first one is in June?
Yeah, I do one in June for the Geminis and then I do one in August for the Leo.
Y'all Leo people, well, we ain't going to go into that. But anyhow, anywho, definitely, you know, let us know what's going on. And I will, you know, pick up on it and get the right credentials from Rich or whoever.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I don't know. Rich, is it Rich? Are you gonna post my information? Or do you want me to shout it out? Or?
Oh, of course, you're gonna post it. I'm gonna shout it out. We're gonna do all that.
Oh, yeah, you know, so matter of fact, you know, if I'm sure Rich is a friend of yours, so maybe I can just grab you off of his friendship, off his page.
Oh,
by all means, because I need to hit that boat ride.
I look forward to seeing you. Look forward to seeing you.
All right.
Now,
and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ray, let me ask you. You also have your own production company, Big Great Production. Tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, it's a production company I started along about 14 years ago. Basically, it just covers everything, all events that I do. You know, whether it be weddings, wedding receptions, birthday parties, sporting events. You know, anything that has to do with entertainment. And providing a service for people to, you know, whether it be just providing the space, whether it's providing the location, the venue, you know, like I said, just anything that has to do with partying and having a good time or, you know, finding something for a specific event, that's what I do. So I'll have people that would call me just to secure them a location. And I just get paid to do that. Like, I don't even have to promote the car. I have nothing to do with, you know, my payment is up front, just locking in, just securing the location for them. You know, it's that easy.
Okay. Now, when would you say is the best time to have an event? It don't matter.
I mean, yeah, again, like I said, obviously we live in New York, so, I mean, you know, of course the choice is always the summertime. But, I mean, again, back to the whole thing of having a good following, have a good, strong background of people that know the party's going to be hot, the party's where it's at every week, you know, you can do it basically anytime.
Oh, all right. Well, man, what I really want to thank you for joining us, and what I want you to do is give them all your information, let the listeners know about all your information, you know, how they can get in touch, your parties and everything, because I know you also have parties going on every Friday, right?
Yes, every week,
right.
My weekly parties, every Friday night. I actually, I'm one of the promoters of Friday Night Lights, which is at Providence, which is in New York, Manhattan, located on 57th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue, and that's every Friday night. You can catch us there doing that weekly event at Providence, 57th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue. And it's Gray Productions, and my list is all night long at the door. Saturday night, I have my event, my personal event that I do at this venue called 10th Rail, which is located on 33rd Street and 10th Avenue. It's actually around the corner from the old Copacabana. Copacabana used to be on 34th and 10th.
Yeah, they moved it.
They moved it. So it's on the corner of 33rd and 10th Avenue, which is right next to McDonald's on the corner. And that's every Saturday night we do that part.
Okay, so you're definitely doing big things. Now, let them know the information on everything. You know, if you're on Facebook, if you care to do that, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You can reach me on Facebook. You can add me. My alias, obviously, due to we had this conversation earlier, Rich. A lot of people trying to reach me, I actually use an alias on Facebook. So it's Raymond, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D, Samson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N. So it's Raymond Samson on Facebook. Or you can find me through my email, which is bigray125@AOL.com. And that's B-I-G-R-A-Y. The number is 125@AOL.com. So that's bigray125@AOL.com.
All right, Ray. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
I mean, shout out to everybody out here doing their thing. I mean, it's a brand new year, 2012. We're already in the month of February. So, you know, I tell people all the time waits for no man or woman. So, you know, get out here, do what you need to do, make it happen. And to everybody out here trying to be successful, trying to be positive, you know, stay doing your thing.
All right.
Shout out to you, Rich and Lavina, for making it happen here, you know. I'm here because of y'all. So again, everybody being positive, everyone doing their thing. You know, everyone has a lane that they're in. So much success to you and your show. And I hope that, you know, I hope big things are in store for you.
Same to you. When you know you're welcome back anytime. You know, anytime. If you just want to hit me up, yo, Rich, you know, I got this party going on. Let me know what it is. I have no problem announcing it over the air.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir. I got you locked in.
All right, Ray.
All right, boy.
All right. Good looking, Ray. Once again, man, I really want to thank you for joining us.
No doubt.
All right. Okay, Dons and Divas, coming up next for the last part of our segment is Robert Ross, one of the biggest entertainment lawyers and the CEO of R&R Entertainment. We'll be right back. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Oh,
right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the last segment of the show. And with me right now, I have Robert Ross. Robert, welcome to the show. Rob, what's going on?
I'm doing well, sir. How you doing?
I can't call it. Everything going good so far, you know. Another weekend through it all, you know. So what's been going on, Rob?
Not too much. I got a special guest with me. I didn't let you know I was going to give you a little bit of a surprise. I got a gentleman by the name of Michael Waller, who was formerly with a group called Natural Blend that was on DreamWorks. That's formerly currently coming out with an album underneath the Universal Bungalow imprint. And he's out in the Virginia Beach area with me. Just wanted to say what's up to you guys.
Oh, all right. Good looking, huh?
What's
going
on?
I can't call. So you're doing your thing right now. You know, same old. You're doing your thing right now. Maybe one day we can have you on here also.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I did stuff on Black Street Deep. Gladys Knight album's about to drop next month. I did two of her singles. I did God Love Online, Mary J. Blige, So In Love. I've been in the game for like 10 years, man. I'm getting to drop my solo record, Danger Hands. He was my partner, and now Danger Hands' brother, me, is coming out with a whole album.
Oh, so you're definitely doing it. You're definitely doing it.
Yeah, man. You know, get a time, look up. You can Google search Mike Waller, man. I got a lot of history out there, man.
Oh, well, we're definitely going to do our homework on it. I'm definitely going to do that. And, you know, whatever you got to do.
We have to give it to him, Rob, man. We know taking care of business in a V. All
right. And, you know, if you want to send something, Rob, with the thing, we definitely push it, huh? We definitely push it.
No doubt,
no
man.
No question about it. Now,
we definitely be getting up, man.
Oh, no doubt. Rob got my info. You know, like I said, he's a down-to-earth good brother. Ain't too many brothers I socialize with, but he's definitely one of them.
We humbled down years later. We used to spend $30,000 in the club every night. Then we had to slow down.
All right.
Hey, Rich, let me tell you, that's no lie, bro. When they got that deal with DreamWorks, the bar tab was $30,000 for their album release party, bro.
And it came out our pocket.
Wow.
Right. The label would not cover that cost, trust me.
He's definitely doing big things.
But God is blessing, you know.
That's the case.
God is blessing. It's a time for bringing out good music, man.
Exactly. Because the music they got coming out now, I'm not even going to lie to you. Some of it I don't understand what messages they trying to give, which it ain't no messages. And then they singing stuff. I'll be like, oh, what is he saying? They all are yelling and screaming. And I'll be like, oh, man. But,
you know what,
the new generation now, some of them, that's what they like.
My saying is this, man. My saying is, I don't even say no more. It's bad music. I just say I'm praying for them.
Yeah, you know.
I'm praying for the game, a lot of artists now. We can bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. I just recently had Mikey D on the line, a pioneer. He's definitely doing it. He's definitely doing his thing, too. He got some joints coming out, you know, and he got that new school flavor going on with it. Because nowadays, a lot of rappers, I'm sorry to say, but they're going on the materialistic things. They're not thinking about, you know, the generation or how they're reacting towards their music.
Right.
You know? And that's what's bad about it.
And like you're saying, they're not putting substance in it no more. Like now, everybody's going for what's flashy. I mean, we all got diamonds. We all got that. That's nothing to talk about. I'd rather hear how you got them diamonds. Give me some substance.
Exactly. You're definitely right about that. You're definitely right. Ain't no question about it. But I definitely want to get up with you, though. Ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, me and Rob, we got some new business, man. We'll be announcing in a minute. So, you know, you definitely need to get up with us for sure, bro.
No doubt.
Look out for me. I'm on, I'm on Bungalow Universal. My single should be dropping in the next 3 months. We finishing mastering now. So it's going good, man. Going real good, man. You know, we bringing that VA sound where what you missed from Timbaland, Black Street, Mary J. Blige, we going to bring that back out. A whole nother way, though.
Oh, all right. No question. We definitely going to push it. We definitely going to push it. Ain't no question about it. Rob.
Yeah, bro. What's good?
What's going on? I really thank you for bringing me on the air and all that, man.
No doubt.
The time is just going by so fast. You know, I just want to get a couple of things in with you, but I definitely want to know if I could have you back. Because I know we ain't going to have enough time. Because, you know, like we was talking earlier, and I know we ain't going to be able to talk the amount of time that I want to talk to you tonight. Because we had so many guests on tonight that it was just like, wow.
All right, well, go ahead and give me 2 minutes on what you need me to give, you know, give your listeners on. And then, you know, I can give you a brief synopsis of what they need to know. Let them know what type of style profile you're dealing with. You know what I mean?
No doubt. No doubt. Now, let's get into the fact of you having – we're gonna start with your entertainment first. All right?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's talk about you being a CEO of R&R Entertainment.
Okay.
All right. What made you start R&R Entertainment?
I mean, R&R Entertainment is a brand. It's not just the legal side of the business. I just see that there's a lot of independent artists out there that need some sort of guidance, and as well as being able to understand the totality of the type of business that they're in. The type of business that we're in entertainment doesn't just have one faction. There's a lot of different scenarios when it comes to entertainment. So what I try to do is make sure that whatever your brand is, that it's protected across the board. Because at the end of the day, that's what you're known for. Your name and your identity is what's going to be the residual for your back end. And that's why I try to stay in front of.
All right. Now, that's a good point. So let's get into another part of your life where you have your BA in finance, your BA in marketing. You have your master in public policy. You have your Jarvis doctorate in law. Tell us about that.
I mean, I have a total of 6 degrees, to be honest with you. I have a BA in finance from Fisk University. I have a BA in marketing from George Washington University. I have my Juris Doctorate and my Master's from Georgetown Law Center, and I just received my honorary doctorate from Troy University in New York.
Okay. Now, what a lot of people don't know about you is that you're also an entertainment lawyer.
That's correct. And I prefer to be called intellectual property attorney now, because that's where that's the real name of the game right now. It's not necessarily entertainment attorney is a broad stroke, but intellectual property, when you get into the business of music and in the business of publishing, intellectual property simply means what your work product is worth. Like when your name starts to become, when someone like a Michael Jordan, or when your name is a Drake, or let's say your name is a Michael Wallet, and people just give you money based upon your name, then that's intellectual property, protecting your brand. That's what I do.
Okay, so what made you decide to become intellectual property?
Second year law school, my brother approached me, used to work for Bobby Brown, came to me and bought me the group, you might remember the group Troop. He bought the group Troop to me because they had some royalties that was owed to them from a label they used to be signed to called Tommy Boy. I went back, was able to secure over $2 million worth of lost royalties that Troop was owed, including the New Jack City soundtrack that they were on, and I was able to secure that. And from there, the rest is history. I just decided that that was the business that I needed to be in.
Now, you're also a special legal aid advisor for WEA. Tell us what that is.
WEA is the distribution network for Warner Brothers, Elektra, and Atlantic Records, and I actually am a special advisory counsel to the in-house legal counsel. So if there's anything that's out of line with the current deals that WEA is offering in terms of a distribution deal, I'm actually outhouse counsel that they hire on a consultant basis to make sure that there's no bias in any of the deals that they're doing. It's basically to protect their interests.
I mean, you just have, Rob, you have so much going on, and it's like it's incredible how you balance everything out, because you also the board of director of Hoops, Help Our Playgrounds. What made you decide to get into that?
Hoops is a consortium of bank presidents within the Mid-Atlantic regions, within D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And what they do is banks actually putting money up collectively to fix the city playgrounds in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So any public playgrounds that are not getting any city money but need to be fixed up, the banks come in and as a private entity come in and put brand-new basketball courts up, brand-new, blacktops, that type thing.
Okay, so then let me ask you, how did you get to speak at the conference corporate sponsor for Jack the Rapper?
Jack the Rapper is an old conference from back in the early 90s, late 90s, that was started by a gentleman who was a DJ on V103 in Atlanta, and he saw that there was a need for a conference where all of the major music executives and people that wanted to be in the music business would get together for 3 days. Jack the Rapper is a very legendary conference, and I was corporate sponsor for 2 years and a title sponsor for 2 years, and I was also moderator for them as well. That conference is no longer, but it's actually a blueprint for a lot of different conferences that are held in the music business today.
Okay, was he the founder of National Association of Radio Announcers?
What's that now?
Was he the founder of National Association for Radio Black Announcers? Is that what
you got it.
About?
That's Jack the Rapper.
You got it. The Black Urban Music for 23 years.
You got it.
Yeah, see, last I knew, because you had me do my homework on it. I ain't ashamed to say it.
No doubt.
You definitely had me do my homework on it. Because he was like the Mellow Yellow, oldest, largest circulating black radio.
You got
which
it,
is
bro.
Good to know, because a lot of people didn't know that. A lot of people definitely didn't know that. So you told me, and I did my homework, now a lot of other people know about Jack the Rapper. Because he was our first black orientation radio announcer.
Yep.
Oh, all right, all right. Now, you was a speaker at KISS FM, right?
Right.
For the copyrights and public seminar. Tell us about that.
KISS FM is the largest radio station in London, and the program director personally invited me out to do a moderation, to be a moderator for their national conference that we actually put together once a year. They do something similar to like Hot 97, which is the summer fest for Hot 97 in New York. Basically, what this is just a byproduct of just a very important conference every year that just personifies what the radio stations are doing out there. KISS FM is 8 stations that comprise from France to Germany to London. And I was the title speaker for that.
Okay, well, let me ask you something. With you being a lawyer, if I wanted to start a record label or start an artist, what advice could you give me on starting that?
If you were an artist or if you were a record label?
If I wanted to start a record label, which is one part, or if I wanted to, like, become an artist and needed to deal with contracts, what's the first thing I should look for as becoming an artist and looking for contracts? You know, because a lot of labels, they give out contracts, and, you know, they have those odds and ends that ain't supposed to be in there. And then, you know, when you start a label, you also need that type of format also.
All right, so you're asking me two questions. You're asking me if I'm an artist,
exactly,
and if I'm a record label, how would I go about starting?
Exactly. I'm asking you two questions with one sentence.
I think the most important thing is, and I could say this because this is something I did at a seminar about 3 weeks ago in Miami. The first and most important thing is the music industry is at a crossroads right now. The music industry doesn't have a face. What I call it, it's like a bastard child. Basically, whatever's going on in the music industry right now is basically the music industry is actually responding to whatever's hottest out there right now. Right now, with the digital media being what it is, it's so easy for an artist to be able to really get on and do what they need to do. They just need to be able to be virally responsible. You need to be able to get online. You need to be with the right search engines. You need to have the right SOE. You need to have the right setup in order to be able to move forward. Now, in terms of what you're asking, as a record label, the most important thing that I would tell anyone that wanted to start a record label is if you have multiple artists that you want to work with, put out a compilation album first. See what comes off that compilation album first, and then based on that, then you'll know who your thoroughbred is that you need to run with, first and foremost, okay? If that's not an option, if it's simply just putting out an artist that you're interested in moving forward on, rock a single, do what Diddy did with Last Train to Paris. Put a single out, put a video out. Put a single, put a video out. So instead of dropping your album and no one knows who you are, keep dropping a single and build your movement to the point where your movement is where it's at. The good thing about the internet, everything is trackable. So at the end of the day, mm-hmm. when you're putting your numbers in place, you're able to show what you're doing. Make sure that your UPC barcodes are online. Make sure that if you're going with a radio station that your BDS spins, make sure that all of those things are in place, because record labels, ultimately, you need to use them for what they are. I'm a big proponent of the 360 deal, because the 360 deal works for you if you already have certain mediums in place. It's not a good look for you if you don't have any revenue streams. If you got revenue streams that are already out there and those revenue streams are generating income, align to yourself with another label that can bring you a whole nother dimension that you don't have will then make sense. Because what you're doing is at that point you're lying to yourself and you're making money. I can go on and on with this, but you got to get the gist of what I'm saying. If you're a brand-new label, be smart and make sure you got your team together. Get a great kick-ass accountant, get yourself a lawyer, and get yourself a business manager before you decide to do anything. After you've done that, then you can move forward.
Yeah, okay. And I know you can go on because you know what? I definitely want to have you back on. I also want to have Michael Waller back on also, because I want to give you our slot so we can really get deep into this, because I know a lot of people that want to start things, and I think that your advice you would give them will be, like, helpful, and I will also get them to contact you, you know, and also, you know, build up situations, you know what I mean?
No doubt, definitely. Definitely appreciate that,
definitely run out of time. But what I want you to do is I would like for you to tell the listeners how they could contact you, whether you're on Facebook, you know, if you feel that you want to do that, is that...
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. If you want to reach me, you can actually the best way to reach me and get a little bit more information about me is real simple. Go to R&R Entertainment, the word spelled out, .me WordPress.com. Mm.
Okay.
That's R like Robert, A like Apple, A like N like Nancy, D like David. R like Robert again, and then the word entertainment, .me.wordpress.com.
All right. Now, Rob, would you have a problem coming back on? You know, we call you to come back on. Would you have a problem with that? Because I definitely want to get into this topic with you definitely deep, and, you know, where we don't have to rush it. Because we did go over the limit tonight because we had so many guests. But I definitely want to get you back on so we can sit down, talk about it. And, you know, let the listeners know I'm here exactly what you're about.
Well, what you can do is, I know that you're on every other. I know you're on every Friday. If you can, I'll throw you a bone. I can be a correspondent for you at the Grammys. I'll be at the Grammys on the 12th. So if you can give me a call on the 10th, I can give you a preview of what's going to go on that weekend, and we can discuss that.
Okay, we'll definitely get in touch with you on that.
All right, bro.
We will definitely get in touch with you on that. And Michael Wallace, right. You still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here, bro.
All right. We definitely want to get in touch with you also, you know, to have you on the air and everything. It's just that the show went over the limit, and it's like we had so many guests on tonight and the callers that went beyond what it's supposed to go. We don't usually have that many, you know, guests on.
No doubt.
But it just so happened tonight we had, you know, over capacity.
Well, it's all good, bro. Appreciate the love, man.
No doubt. So, yo, Rob, we definitely going to keep in touch.
All right, you got it, bro. Keep in touch.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you.
All right, bro.
Thanks a lot again, man, for joining us.
You got it. Take care, man.
Is there any shout-outs you want to give, Rob, or anything?
Just, you know, to Mike, to my staff, Lily, Maria, Jerome, Kevin, thanks again for the support. My new relationship with a brand new label out here in Virginia Beach, which is why I'm out here now, and to just all those folks that's trying to strive and get on, don't ever give your dream up. You know, you may have a lot of people in your life that's not really trying to support you. You just got to keep on your grind, you know. Non-believers become believers.
Exactly. You know? And we're definitely going to get in touch on the 10th.
All right, you got it, bro. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care of yourself.
All right, bro.
All right, bro.
All right. All right, Dons and Divas. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank our guests for joining us this evening. Vanessa Williams with the GQ General Question. I want to thank author K.L. Belvin. Don't forget to get his novel, From Gigolo to Jesus. It's going down big. It's an extraordinary book. I want to thank Sicko, the main thing. Check him out. He's doing his thing in the music industry. Don't forget about his novel, Stubborn Child of God, his smashing single, Compensation. I want to thank Ray from Big Ray Productions. Get in touch with him about doing those parties because he's definitely doing big things. And a special guest to Robert Ross, entertainment lawyer, R&R Entertainment. He'll be back next week to discuss the finished part two of his interview. Tomorrow night at the Candy Lounge on Fordham Road, you have a 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s party all in one. Music by one and only DJ L.A. Love. Ladies, $10 before 12, $20 after. Fellas, $15 before 12, $25 after. I also want to give a special shout out to the Cornelius family. Rest in peace, Don Cornelius. I'm your host with money. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment, where dreams come true. It's butter, baby. Good night.
Now give me that, I Kanye Taylor Swift 'em. So where my right hand?